And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. We got a good show for you today, as always. In the first hour, we have Karen Hudis. She was the an attorney for the World Bank and became a whistleblower and said, yo, what's up? You know, I think everybody should know that they're bad. They're bad, they're bad, they're bad, they're doing bad things. So what we're going to do, we're going to get the latest update from her. There's some stuff going on. She's been making the rounds in the press here of late, and we have her on. So in the third hour, Cindy DeBach is about the dangers of EMF, smart meters, cell towers. You know, this has become a big thing that there are some issues with the ability to have your body process and function as we get in. You know, caveman didn't have a cell tower, you know what I mean? So as we get into more and more and more and more and more radio wave and frequencies of and so on, does it have an effect on our body? Well, of course it does. Is it good, bad? You know, how bad, how good, how we're going to find out in the third hour. Now, first, let's get to Karen Hudis, our whistleblower from the World Bank. That was, you know, we had an interview with her before, and I'll skip to the end. She wanted to be an attorney for the World Bank. Her whole goal was, you know, World Bank, you know, out there to prevent war and conflict and hunger and so on. She believed the mission statement, and that's what she wanted to do. And she got her resume all nice and purtied up and did whatever she needed to do to get the position she was. And she got there, and then she's like, they're bad. Well, you know, she believes in the mission, but, you know, it's gone down the dark side. She's going to tell us more about how dark it's gone down and on that side. Karen, share with us. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
You know, I've seen you around a lot. I mean, it's looking like you're sharing with a lot of people. You're starting to get a lot of attention. You know, I'm glad to see you're able to express yourself. But, you know, my thing is like, I'm going, yeah, World Banks, yay. You know, like, yay. But, you know, you're believing in the mission. You want to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And let's go ahead and real quick describe what you think the World Bank is supposed to be doing, and you tell us the latest atrocities.
Okay. And by the way, if it hadn't been for you and giving me a leg up, I don't think I would have gotten, you know, some of the traction I've been getting. So I wanted to thank you again.
You're very welcome.
I'm really happy to be back.
You know, I tell you what it is. Our audience is kind of unique, and they have a different perspective on it. And I think from our last conversation, you probably got a little bit different perspective on how we see things. And it added to you in the conversation, even though we may not agree exactly on whether there even should be a World Bank or something. But at least you kind of understand, you know, why we're interested.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, let's just get right to where we are right at this minute, at least where I think we are, because, you know, the real struggle is over information. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and you never really know whether you've gotten a complete picture yet. And
before we get into where we are right now, please explain to the audience what your vision was of the World Bank and how you wanted to help. Because what I was so fascinated about is how hard you worked over years to get into the position that you finally got. You know, I go ahead and describe to the people that don't know what the World Bank's mission, why are they even there?
Money. Okay. It's about money. And if you don't, just think about money, and people are struggling to be in charge of it because money is a form of control. And people who wanted to take charge of the whole world, dominate the world, saw the World Bank as a good platform. And of course, if it's a good platform for control, it's also a good platform for getting good done. So it's been, you know, it's always been a struggle between good and evil. That's what it is. It's a focal point for the struggle between good and evil.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty simple. You know, money, why do you think, do you still think that there should be the World Bank, that there's this kind of a, I don't know, there's some benefit to having centralized control of, you know, our perspective is anything. I mean, you know, once you have collective centralized control of whatever, it's just a handle for a suitcase that people want to get hold of, and it's what's in the suitcase is theirs now, you know? So you have, like, distributed, like Bitcoin. I mean, heck, even eBay is talking about Bitcoin now. So I'm just going, that's where the collectivist, the statist, the we want to control youist, you know, they love having some kind of central banking, world banking thing. And then when you start getting it distributed to where everybody can do whatever they want, any way they want from their smartphone, Bitcoin kind of done, they don't like that. They don't like that one little bit. You know, and we'll get into that, too. We'll have plenty of time to talk about, you know, how they might see that. But you're of the opinion that it was an organization that could be used for good if you got good people at the top of it to make sure that some are not disadvantaged at the, you know, over some other interest that kind of. How did you see it as a beneficial organization? You are a good person. You wanted to do good. You wanted to be in there really bad. And why? Because you saw a force for good. Why?
Well, look at what I was trained to do. I'm a lawyer, but I'm also a development economist. And if you're a development economist, then that's where the action is. And I guess where we actually ought to focus, Ernest, is on strategy. If let's say I agree that we don't want control and maybe we don't want these structures that can be misused, how do you dismantle them? What's your strategy for dismantling them?
Ignoring them.
And then what you really want is you want somebody who shares your end where we're all headed. Yes, let's dismantle them. But how are we going to do it? Don't we want somebody there right now? Provided they're for real. That's a big provided. And then it would be my job to convince you that I'm for real. And then supposing I was able to convince the groups that had created that organization. Disney film Sorcerer's Apprentice, where things you set out to do something and it gets
out of control.
It goes off in the wrong direction.
Yeah, out of control. I mean,
control.
You
okay.
Cannot control these kinds of complex, chaotic systems. To attempt to is, that's why capitalism is, you know, the free market, you know, is probably a better word, is so dynamic. It allows individuals to be the market instead of it being imposed on people. It's a philosophical thing.
Do you believe we have a market now, Ernest? Do you think we've got a market?
I don't believe we've had the market in my lifetime.
I can tell you what the market is. It's not me that's telling you this. There were some mathematicians at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. That's the best university in Europe. And they did a study. And what they found out, I'll tell you at the end.
Okay. All right. I was going to let you finish your thought. We'll be right back. We got plenty of time. You know, we have three more segments. We'll get to it, get into the, you know, breaking news and so on. Because I, you know, Karen's a good person that, you know, needs to be able to have an outlet to express herself fully and help us.
Okay, Karen, your video right there, if you could bring it down just a little bit, it's like, there you go.
Is that it?
Yeah, maybe, no.
I can do it. I know how to do it.
Do you see what you're seeing or we're seeing? There you go. Okay, that works. All right. Yeah. How are you personally? You okay?
I am great. I am. So, I'll tell you what it is. I'm working with incredible whistleblowers, and every day as people see where things are, they're giving me more information and more whistleblowers are joining. I have to tell you who I was talking to yesterday.
Well, tell me on air. Okay. Tell me on air. You know, you'll lose all the goody and the built up. I'm dragging it out. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay.
So I couldn't be better off. I couldn't be better. And the other thing is that I'm learning so much. People are giving me information that I didn't have before.
You know, the thing is, since we talked last, Karen, you know, I was really happy to see you be able to express yourself and share with us everything. But I'll tell you, you know, are you starting to realize, you know, that some people have the opinion that just even the existence of this centralized kind of control that the World Bank represents is the problem?
Absolutely. But the question is, how do we get from here to there?
No, you just ignore
them. We just have to talk
about
strategy.
Bitcoin, next.
Yes. Look, it's not either or. You empower people at the lower levels and start using Bitcoin, absolutely. And you take somebody at the top who the white hats in these structures realize, and you all work together to dismantle that thing.
You know,
you have total transparency, and people know the minute you're off track.
You know,
you tell them how to figure out the minute you're off track and you've really been hijacked, and whether the person who says that they're dismantling it is or isn't doing it. Everybody knows.
You know,
when you say whether you're dismantling it or whether you're misusing the power is whether the whistleblowers are
beaten,
you know, getting punished.
You know, I hate to say, you know, Bitcoin just represented as, you know, effective alternative currencies. I don't have any particular love for that. Heck, I'd just be using real silver would be my
preference. Exactly. It doesn't have to be one thing. It can be anything that's legal. Yeah. Including precious metals themselves.
Oh, well, hell, I'm like, as far as I'm concerned, you could trade LSD squares. I don't care. You know,
that's right.
When you say that's legal, I mean, who decides that? You're in this collective thing again, you know, and it's just so it's a philosophical thing that I'm hoping you're becoming aware of. Not that
I am aware of it, and I'm getting more and more aware of it. And I have to tell you that the people who have been abusing the World Bank, some of the white hats there, they're helping me dismantle it. It has to be dismantled from the top in the middle as well.
All right, here we go. We can talk all about it. We'll get right to your news. Here we go.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Karen Judith, C.R.H.E. Purdy, you know, this is so, it's so nice to talk to someone that really cares. I mean, they made the effort to go and actually do, she's a do-gooder. I'm a do-gooder. I worked really hard and got an education and, you know, padded my resume with all kinds of little activities and things they told me to do, and I did, and here I am, let's go do good. And then they're bad. They're bad. And she's starting to understand, you know, it's legal tender laws and what current and who decides what you can and cannot trade. Heck, you want to, you know, take euros or gold for oil and you get bombed. I mean, you know, you want to, you know, certain get attacked, you know, start saying you're off the petrodollar. And, you know, let me tell you, just start putting an ear to the air and listening for cruise missiles. Okay. So this is, you know, was it, you know, Qatar or something wants to put a pipeline through Syria? You know, and they won't, and here we go. I mean, it's when you got Putin, KGB, Russia, Putin coming out saying, you know what? Kerry, former Democrat nominee for president, now secretary of what the heck, and he goes, you know, liar, 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 pants on fire. And the world believes him. I go, we're in trouble, man. We in trouble. Well, the capital T. Okay. So, Karen, you've gone through in just the last couple of months. I'll bet, man, you're getting edumacation. And I'm going, you know, this alternative currency thing, you're talking about, yeah, it's on the radar screen. They're worried or something. They want to dismantle it. And I'm going, dismantle, you know, they're never going to dismantle. They're going to put a different label on it and put a new package on it and wrap it in a bow and whatever the heck they're going to do. But, you know, they're not going to, they may say they are, but whatever. So you have some news. You know, I told you, don't tell me on the break. I'm going to be surprised everybody else. So you've been, you know, having conversations with various different people, and you want to share that with us. Tell us everything.
Okay, let me start out with something that I learned recently. And anybody who doesn't believe what I'm saying, I've got the proof for it, and I'm happy to give it to you. I'll give you my website. It's kahudes.net, and there's a contact button on there. So just ask me for the proof, and I'll give it to you. Okay, your taxpayer dollars are going to the Vatican. Via the United Kingdom. So do you remember when they burned down the Capitol of, you know, the Capitol building in Washington, the British? So there was a secret agreement after that. We were going to pay our war reparations, and the Federal Reserve, which has been issuing our currency and getting repaid. Okay, they set up the IRS in Puerto Rico, and all of the money goes to the Vatican. Yeah, and when you get a birth certificate, look at the bottom of it. Your names are in all caps. That is collateral to secure the debt, the U.S. federal debt to the Federal Reserve. Now, and I can give you the treaty with the United Kingdom on Social Security payments, how those are going. So this sounds wacky, but this is, I can give you the paperwork.
Oh, heck, we've been hearing this for two decades. I mean, ever since I've been, you know, an activist, this is, I hear different versions of where our money goes and how. And so I tell you what it comes down to. You know, this doesn't surprise me. It's interesting to have an attorney from the World Bank confirming this one thing.
I can give you the paperwork, Ernest, that what I'm saying is correct.
I'm with you. Let me explain to the people so they understand, you know, the ramifications of this. It has been, you know, as, you know, Karen's learning and, you know, she confirmed it enough as an attorney for the World Bank, you know, that she's convinced of this. So I, you know, cool. And let me tell you know, kind of how I got exposed to it. Bottom line is this. When you go into debt, the United States of America, what makes it any different as a geographical area than anywhere else on the planet? You know, why would they buy U.S. treasuries? Why are they going to give, you know, for 30 years, you know, at, you know, 1.0%, you know, it's now 3%. It's going to start shooting up. I mean, that's when you know, here we go. And it's already starting to, whoop, here we go. But it was as high as 15.something%. You know, back in the early 80s. So, I mean, it's, you know, damn, we were screaming the fall of Europe when Greece and Italy went to 6%. Okay? We were like, you know, almost three times that. So I'm doing, okay, this is what happens. You, as an individual, are the collateral for all the debt. And they just keep piling it on and derivatives of and everything. I mean, it's so ridiculous. They should be, you know, begging you to have children so they can, you know, indebt us. So this is what's used on the world as a, you know, it's like your Social Security number is a, you know, chopped up and made derivatives, de la, somebody got some money out of it. And what happened when we started having children in the mid to late 80s, yeah, well, you know, when I went to get a Social Security card, I wanted to go to work and everything. I think I got mine when I was 16. Then my kids, you know, you know, okay, if you want to start claiming in the early 90s, if you want to claim them as a dependent in your tax write-offs and so on, they had to have a Social Security number. Now it's like, man, if you leave the hospital without a brand on your baby's forehead, you're a bad parent. We're going to call CPS kind of stuff. I'm telling you. You are nothing but livestock to be collateralized on the world market of we got some debt for you in your name. and get over it. So what?
And all our national parks, they're pledged too. I mean, it's been quite a racket. Okay. So everybody understands how the Vatican is getting the money is because there was a treaty with John the First or one of those English kings who was also in debt to the Vatican. So that's how the money goes to the UK because they burned down our capital in 1812. And then it goes from the UK to the Vatican. All right. So
why
who did
through
I meet
the UK?
Why through
the UK? Why not, you know, just go put it in the offering plate in New York or something? I mean, why?
Because of the treaties. Because of the history. That's why.
Okay, because they can. All right.
Okay.
They get their cut?
Who did I meet with yesterday? I took the bus up to New York, and I met with a Canadian former clergyman who started. What he did was he uncovered all of the graves of the native children who had been murdered. Murdered. He was telling me how they were murdered in the Catholic orphanages. And he documented this, and he brought a citizen's trial. And that's why Ratzinger had to step down, because Ratzinger was trying to cover that up, and he got evidence of it. He's very, you know, he went to law school for a year, and he's very good at documenting evidence. He gave me 4 CDs. He told me to share them. I'll give them to, you know, you after the show, and you can give it to your listeners.
Ratzinger. So, who's Ratzinger?
Yes.
Who's
so,
Ratzinger?
That's who I met with in New York.
Who is Ratzinger?
He was, that's the name before he became Pope Benefice or whatever his name is, the Pope who stepped down. The reason he stepped down was because of Kevin Arnett, who I met yesterday and who gave me all this evidence.
Okay, when we come back, we want to get to that. We're going into break again. See, don't you just love breaks? Okay, what we're going to do is when we come back, Ratzinger, okay, which was, you know, Pope de la last one, you know, before this immediate last. You know, I don't even know if there was ever a precedent. I mean, it's been, I don't know, like hundreds, like thousands of years, I don't know, since a pope said, you know what, I don't want to be pope anymore. God told me not to be pope anymore. Okay, why? Karen knows.
Yep.
Okay, that's what we're, you know, we'll come right back on, yeah, don't assume I know anything. I don't know popes' real names, man.
Yeah, me too. I'm not good with names,
okay.
As you see.
So this is, have you have any concern for your well-being or your finances?
Everybody asks me that.
Okay, well, I wanted an answer. I mean, are you okay?
I couldn't be better.
All right, well, I know you've been at this a long time, you know, trying to get, you know, how long has it been that you're starting to feel your maiden traction, you know, just recently?
I didn't tell you the other people that I've been in touch with because it's kind of like climbing a ladder. You get to a certain level, and that's when you start getting transparency at that level, and I'm getting right to the heart of it. Yeah?
Very good. Well, share that with us. You know, that,
I certainly
that,
will.
That concept. You know, see, the thing is that it's I give you a perfect example. You know, write this down. Thrive Movement.
Yeah, I've been following them. Yeah,
okay,
and
now,
been in touch with them.
Well, Foster, I just spent some more time. We became friends, I don't know, over a year ago. When he first did the movie, somebody sent me a pirated copy of him, or it was online, and kind of, and he was all upset. Oh, it's pirated! You can't do it. I'm going, get over it, man. It's called the internet. You're just going to have to, you know, work it out. Let it go, because that's when you really start to get the traction. Don't try and control it. And so he's kind of, you know, let it, now it's you can watch it free online and everything, and they're making their money back, and they're really starting to build something. I saw him this last weekend in California, an event called Libertopia. And, you know, talking to him, I could see that the perspective that he's had is just an example of how someone that is like you, just wanted the truth, went out there, had access to different people, and then all of a sudden, something clicked, and he goes, oh, I get it. I understand now. For him, it was his son that introduced him to Austrian economics and the Ron Paul thing and that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, everything he'd been doing all these decades in his adult life, it clicked, and he started to see it for what it was. And for some people, it's, don't know, it's mind-altering, you know, meditation or education or drugs or whatever, and they'll sit there in the ditch staring at a telephone pole, which is what I think you were doing. You're staring at this damn telephone pole, and you took half a step to the left, and you go, holy shit, there's a shitload of telephone poles, you know? And that's what happens. Once you change your perspective and you get kind of a, you know, a different view on things, all of a sudden you go, oh, I get it. It goes all the way back to kings and popes and crap, you know?
That's right. I'm totally pragmatic. It's like I'm not going to resist truth. I want to know what's going on. Yeah, that's it.
Well,
so if I've been wrong, somebody's going to educate me and I'm going to figure out what it was that I wasn't looking at.
See, it's so bad. It's so bad that, you know, when you say dismantle, I don't even want to. I'm just, you know, for lack of a better alternative, other than, like, you know, precious metals, silver, Bitcoin, whatever, is when the people just go, you know what, I break with thee, and I'm going to, that's why they have to have legal tender laws. That's why you have to use the king's counterfeit. I mean, you know, it just, right. Whenever you get away from that, all of a sudden, within like a day, their power just goes away. I mean, I don't need to dismantle them. I just need to ignore them. You know, so that's our opinion. Hopefully, you can start to see why.
I agree 100%. But that's not good enough when you have a structure that's been okay. I'll just lay it on the other thing.
You
that
can
I
watch
found.
The LRN Studio Cam and chat with other listeners anytime at cam.lrn.fm. That's cam.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Karen Hughes, dirty for the World Bank whistleblower, and you know, she's sharing with us. We get to go on this journey with her as she's starting to have not only an impact on them, an impact on her and just the understanding of everything that she was, you know, hoping to accomplish, how best to do it, who wants to help her. Once you get to a certain level, you know, all of a sudden everybody goes, okay, you know, she got in a lot of tension. She's out there. She needs to understand this and that. And a little something else. And she's starting to go, ooh, I took a peeky behind the curtain. And let me tell you, damn, you can't be conspiratorial or paranoid enough, especially when you're talking about the World Bank. I'm going, okay. And you just go through a long list of the bad guys been head of the World Bank and the bad guys to come, and you go, you can see how they're bad, okay? Whenever you create a shiny badge for bad guys, the big bad guys want to have the biggest shiny badge. And the World Bank, it's got a big shiny badge and doing what it wants to do. And what's dismantling it? I don't want to dismantle it. I just want to ignore it. You know, what happens when I just start using, you know, trading chickens? You know, when you do away with legal tender laws and all of a sudden, you know, anything becomes a currency in my organic eggs. So this is, you know, you dismantle it like that and it just gets ignored. All of a sudden, yeah, and that's about what's happening, you know, with other competing currencies like, you know, name it. I mean, it doesn't matter. But the thing is, here we go. Now, go ahead, Karen. I'm just going to let you talk. Go ahead and just tell us what new revelations you've had and all the different people that you've become aware of after you've been doing your media blitz and everything. And I know we were happy to have you on, give you a little bump. But I tell you, you know, I'm very interested in what you're learning. You know, I that is what's of interest to me, to see your evolution. Please share.
Absolutely. And let me start out by saying it's not either or, it's and. So we need people at the bottom of the economic system with trading chickens and time banks. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying more power to you. Absolutely. You're the bedrock on which my work is based. And what's my work? Okay. Let me tell you, when I came to the World Bank, who brought me in? It was Ibrahim Shehada, an Egyptian lawyer who was the general counsel for the OPEC. That's the group that's trading petroleum, pricing petroleum. Okay, he was the general counsel of the World Bank. He brought me in, and I'm not the typical person that goes to the World Bank. The typical person that goes to the World Bank is somebody who will take orders. I'm obviously not a person who takes orders. I'm a person who gives orders. I may be a woman, but that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, going to take somebody's truth as my truth. My truth is truth. I was captain of the NYU fencing team. I had a Hungarian fencing coach, and he taught me when you're under attack, that's exactly what you want, because you're not going to be faster as a fencer than your fastest opponent. So bring them on. That's who I was at the World Bank. And when they came after me because I was after the truth, I just went into my fencer's pose. I saw what foot they were on, and I came in from the other side. And I got to be really, really fast. And who was I fencing with? I was fencing with Jim Wolfenson. He was the president of the World Bank. And he was also an arms trader. And I had been working in the Philippines, and I covered uncovered corruption where the president of the Philippines was ripping off the people in the Philippines. He ultimately got fired by my pal, who was the chief justice of the Philippine Supreme Court. And then there was a World Bank project that I was working on where the second largest bank was supposed to be privatized, and they were supposed to clean up the banking system. This was after the East Asia financial crisis. So what happened was Lucio Tan, who owned Philippine Airlines, bought up the employee shares, and he was in default to the bank. So I went to the guy in the World Bank who was in charge of the Philippines, and I said, you better tell the government that they're not going to get their money because that president is crooked. And instead, he had me reassigned. So I studied economics in Holland. That was why I went to the World Bank. I wanted for the poor countries to learn how to get rich, and that was what the World Bank was supposed to be doing. So I went to see Jim Wolfenson together with the man who represented the Dutch government, and we told him about the corruption in the Philippines. And what was the response of the president of the World Bank? He called my boss and told him that I had been up there to complain about him. And then, you know, a ton of bricks landed on me, and I went into my fencer's post. And so what I did was I went to the Treasury Department and I said, if you don't clean up that World Bank, the U.S. is not going to be able to appoint the president of the World Bank, handpick the president of the World Bank. That was something called the Gentleman's Agreement. I warned them in 2007 that that was going to go by the wayside if we weren't going to be honest. And that's what exactly happened in 2010. And I followed that stakeholder analysis. And the man who brought it to me was Jacek Kugler, who's a political scientist. He did a bigger stakeholder analysis. He said that if the U.S. didn't start playing by the rules, we were going to have a currency war. Well, guess what? It's not just a currency war. We are going to blow up the earth to smithereens. So we are now at a situation where we can't sit back and wait for people exercising their libertarian choice. We have got to go to the heart of the matter where they're sending nuclear warfare in the Middle East. And we have got to dismantle the military. So you can be doing all the bitcoins trading you want, and if you're not there at the heart of it, which is where I am, the world is going to get blown up before you win your battle. That's what I'm doing. That's who I am.
You know, I believe that you believe that, and I want to help you express your opinion and do that. I've been doing this a long time, and
I, Ernest, and you're not going to put me down.
Okay, go get them. You know, the one thing that I see the power of billions of people making individual decisions free of any coercion or controls.
I do too, market. But they're living in a world which is about to blow itself up, and you need somebody where I am. And don't put me down, and don't talk to me down. I don't like it.
It's always been ready to blow itself up.
And now it's not because I'm there. So don't be patronizing.
Do you think I'm patronizing to you?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead and define
a proper interview.
Go ahead and define what you think I'm being patronizing.
I just want to tell you what's going to happen and what I'm doing. The UN has 300,000 boots on the ground, and they are going to take over Washington on October 1st unless I'm there doing what I'm doing.
Okay, you're saying there's a military invasion of the United States or Washington or something?
There are boots on the ground.
Okay, go ahead and tell us what you know.
Okay, because I am out there and people are sending me emails. All the whistleblowers of the world are sending me emails. so that we can keep the world from blowing itself up. And what happened is that the Treasury Department, which has been hand in glove with the Federal Reserve, there has been no distinction. The people that come in to be the Secretary of the Treasury all come from Goldman Sachs, and they've just been doing whatever they were told, which is actually being directed from the Vatican. Okay, so what did these guys do for us? They brought in 300,000 UN troops, and those guys are planning on taking over the U.S. and putting them down on October 1st, and it's not happening. It's not happening, and what I have been doing for all this time is I have been telling everybody. I've been telling the ministers of foreign affairs. I've been telling the ministers of finance. Because I'm a lawyer, I bought a World Bank bond, and that meant that the World Bank was not immune. I sued the World Bank, and KPMG was not auditing the World Bank financial statements. And the rules of financial rules are that you have to tell bondholders what the finances are. So I settled my lawsuit with 188 ministers of finance.
When we come back, more of what we need to be afeard of and how Karen's going to help us. Thank you, Karen. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software.
Okay, we got one more segment. You know, what one thing you want to make sure everybody knows before the end of the show? Can you hear me?
I can. Okay. Are we on?
No, we come back in about 2 minutes. But whatever it is that you want to share, make sure and get us all updated. You know, do it in this next segment so we don't, you know, miss the opportunity. All right. Well, I apologize. You think I was being whatever it was, but I'm, you know, I use you and people like you in this to make, you know, long-term points. And I know that there's, you know, there are good people in having the battle. Is I'm more interested in what you're learning than and how you're learning it and your perspective than just news of they're bad. I mean, what are you going to do, convince me they're really, 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 really bad? I mean, how many reallys I need? You know, they're bad. But it's not so much the people for me as it is the power that we give to bad people. And whenever you have collectivized power, the worst people want the biggest shiny badge. I mean, that always happens.
That's right, but we've got to talk about strategy about how to dismantle this. And you're not going to just dismantle it from the lower people taking their freedom back, is what I've been trying to tell you.
Okay, well, that's an opinion. You know,
it's not just an opinion.
Okay, well, this is what we need to talk about. Let's go ahead and I want to make sure you finish whatever you want to share with us. But that is the discussion, in my opinion, is how do you dismantle this centralized rule over people?
You've got to have somebody where it's at going on now and dismantling it. And they've got to agree that they're going to help.
All right. All right. That's okay. Well, I don't want to argue with you on the air, but, you know, it's that is the discussion right there. That right there is how do you do the dismantling? And I'm death of a thousand cuts. I hit them from everywhere.
It's not either or. It's and.
No. I'm not saying don't do what you're doing. But
okay.
You know, I think it's extremely diminished the power of every individual being able to make a decision. As if that doesn't matter. I'm going, yeah, I give you the Levolution. I mean, you know, I've seen this happen over and over and over and over. Heck, that's what Bitcoin is. That's why it's such a danger to them. Here, hold on. Here we go.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from
Your lies. Your lies, 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 lies. Let me tell you how this works. It's real simple. War is over if you want it. It's that simple. You're done. Next. You know, and it's an individual decision. But death of a thousand cuts, and that's why Karen was upset with me. I understand what she's saying. She's like, hey, you know, I'm up here battling, doing, getting bloody and kicking butt and everything. Throw me some props here. And I'm going, death of a thousand cuts from everywhere. You know, as much as she wants to be appreciated for her efforts and what she's sharing and what she's doing, I want to give the same kind of appreciation for every single one of you and the decisions that you make. If you keep using Federal Reserve notes, if you keep using the man's money, you know, you're a slave. You know, it's all about, it's a political decision. I mean, Cody Wilson, the 3D gun printing guy, you know, he made part of his video. It wasn't about guns. That wasn't the point. He was talking about distribution, democratization of manufacturing. We just have today goes up. Elon Musk showed how they built their Merlin engine. It's a Tony Stark kind of hand building, kind of doing what, doesn't even patent anything or nothing. He goes, I just built, ooh, what am I going to patent it for? I'm the only customer for it. He goes, just go out and do it. Make it. Knock yourself out. Here's how we did it done. Democratization of manufacturing. And I'm saying the same thing happens there. And that is not appreciated enough. Everybody's over fighting over the shiny badge. And I'm like, eliminate the shiny badge. But in the process, you got people like Karen Hudis up there doing battle with them that helps everybody's perspective on it and taking a couple of sabers, you know, oh, fencing cuts on them. Karen knows how to do it, doing it, and definitely, Karen, I apologize if you didn't think that I appreciated your efforts. I do. I just want to make sure that everybody's efforts is appreciated, and they're not waiting on you to save the planet, and that you are highlighting everything that needs to be done, and that everybody individually taking action just by not using their money can have an enormous impact. And I think that's what they fear as much as you, is that awareness. So before we end the show, I definitely want to get everything that you think we should know and how we can help, because I know the efforts of a whole bunch of people out there, you know, get a little bit, we'll do a little bit of whatever Karen says. You just tell us what it is, what we need to do, what we need to know.
Well, first of all, don't do what Karen says. I appreciate everything that everybody's doing to get themselves situated, not using the man's currency. You're absolutely right, Ernest. I couldn't agree more. And the point is, it's not what I'm doing. It's what all the whistleblowers are doing. I'm just working together with as many whistleblowers as I can find. And the most important thing that people have to do is they have to get themselves informed. You know, it's not enough just to be using bitcoins. You've got to be informed and find out what's going on so you can't be duped. And the first thing is, don't turn on the news, because the news is controlled by those people that want to control you. They bought up all the media, and you're not going to get the truth from them. You've got to go to Ernest. You've got to go to the other alternative media. And then you've got to learn how to weigh facts and figure out what's really going on. And what I've been doing is, I didn't know what was going on. I've been climbing the different secret layers, and I've been feeding you all as much information as I can. And all the other whistleblowers have been feeding me information, and we're just a network. And, you know, a lot of people, I bumped into somebody in New York who had seen one of my videos. He said, how come you're walking on the street? Aren't you afraid for your life? I said, no, I'm not afraid, because it's not me. It's the whole network of whistleblowers. There are 20 people behind me. Get rid of me and they'll be pretty mad, and you'll deal with them.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they're prepping for next, the after? Let me make this real quick statement. I see this happen throughout history, and even my, you know, relatively short life, you know, in at 52, 53, I mean, I'm kind of becoming aware. I'm an adult, you know, in like the 80s, you start to see the pattern, you know, things going to, and I'm getting the impression, like in the British Parliament and them voting against going into war and so on, you always have, when they have crucial wise like this throughout history, especially in the British Parliament, there'll be a group that rises up and they say, yeah, we're the people. We're the, ooh, and they got a leader and everything. You know, and they all rally behind him, and freedom reigns, and we're going, and it's better. And all of a sudden, and then they just all the bad guys from the previous regime move into that one. It's the same guys, you know, with a different package and a bow and a label. And I'm going, and I get the impression that that's happening again, even on a worldwide basis. United Nations, World Bank, IMF, all of a sudden you go, we had no idea, and we got rid of this guy, and here's the scapegoat, and we're going to fix it, okay? Are you getting that impression? Are you feeling it kind of getting ready to be restructured, but it'll be the same guys? Do you get any kind of, intuition of that coming?
I'm giving your listeners really good quality information. And if they are not going to use it, then it's going to be just as you said. And if they're going to use it, then it's going to be totally different. It's going to be a game change. Okay? I just said don't listen to the mainstream media. Do your own thinking. Learn how to do your own thinking. And when I say do your own thinking, I don't mean just go in a little corner by yourself. I mean involve the people in your community and sit down and discuss with them. And don't let anybody tell you what to think. Anybody. Whether it's your spouse or, you've got to learn how to think. And if you really take that lesson to heart, then it's going to be a game changer. We're not talking about power at the top, Ernest. We're talking about people learning how to think. You're right. It happens from people learning how to think and taking back their own power.
Well, you went through a lot.
At the same time, the system has got to be changed so that it's a system that consists of responding to people who are thinking for themselves.
Okay, now
you
that's
what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
this
exactly.
This is a game changer because people at the bottom, like you said, which is where it all happens, where all meaningful change happens. Don't you think your people are doing things a little differently? Don't you think that they're really taking back power, that they understand for the first time what you're really telling them?
Yes, and
that's,
I tell you what.
It's not either or, it's and.
No, I'm with you. I understand the and. I'm just, I tell you what, we may misunderstand each other, is that no one that I really associate with and a lot of the activism, and we do work hard. We're trying to, get the truth out, too. We never look to the media. We never look to politicians. We never look to a government agency. We never look to a world organization. We never look to them to, provide some kind of a structure for us to peacefully, voluntarily interact with each other. It's not even on our radar screen. We don't look to that or a structure or a system to fix a broken system. It's like we're going to have a bigger collective than their collective to stamp out collectivism. It doesn't work that way in our mind. But that doesn't mean that we can't appreciate the evolution and the awareness of all the things that you bring to the table. I think we've learned a great deal. And what we biggest thing, from my opinion, that we learned is, if we're going to try and use some kind of a system or a head or another badge or some kind of an authority or, it's always backed by somebody with a gun, to take out or stop or fix this, what do you think the fix would look like? What is it you're hoping in the last couple of minutes here? Help me understand, okay, we got a beat on it, we got the right person in the right position, and we're going to fix it. How would you see that fix?
Good question. Transparency. Now, that's the goal. It's going to be, we're humans, so it's never going to be total. It's never going to be perfect. But when you know what to look for to see whether it's getting better or worse, you can make it better. And what you're going to look for is whether whistleblowers are being retaliated against or whether you're getting their information. And once you keep your eye on that dynamic, there's a reasonable chance if the whistleblower's information is getting out, and what I'm telling you is it's getting out, I'm giving it to you. They're giving it to me, we're sharing it, and it's coming to you.
Go ahead and tell people where to go.
All right. Now, let me just blow your mind. You said, what is the one piece of information I want everybody to know? These groups that thought they were going to control humanity buried the world's gold, and it's all coming out. It's all coming out. Now, the big struggle and why we've got 300,000 troops is because the Chinese and the Vatican are trying to maintain control over how that gold comes out.
Really? So they got it set. Donna, Give it a couple of weeks. Have Karen back. I want to hear more about as this goes and everything. Ask her if she would, you know, put up with me again. Because this is...
I will.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is... we're getting to the meat of it. And more important to me, and I know to a lot of my audience, is your exposing of what's going on, people that are helping you, and your understanding of where the real fix is going to come from. And we want to help. I really do. I want to help you expose them. We're going to do whatever we can to do it. Stay in touch. Give out your webpage real quick. Where should they go?
KAHUDESNET.
Now, you go to freedomsphoenix.com or declare your independence in the radio show notes. It'll be right there. Click.
What if the...
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernest.
Okay, this is... So you have to, you know, from our perspective, so you understand. Our perspective is we've known we've been up against the big bad guys. And the fact that you were at the World Bank and a lawyer and everything, I would have put you on the list of bad. Okay. But I never cared who the people, because everybody, I'll give you an example. We're going, doing the war, Iraq and everything. A good friend of mine, and I produced for his show for years, and we were on the same network together, and good friends, Charles Goyette. Now, Charles wrote the book, The Dollar Meltdown, and Red and Blue and Broke All Over, New York Times bestseller, translated in Korean and Chinese. I mean, you know, the Penguin book kind of thing, okay, their portfolio division. So I'm going, all right. Boy's got skills. Smart, has his own newsletter thing, was up and climber and in Clear Channel doing it. And then they said, you know what? We don't need your services anymore because you won't support the war. Okay. Now, what happened was he would focus on the individuals. I mean, it was Rumsfeld. Okay. And I'm going, yeah, and what happens when it's not Rumsfeld anymore? Then what? You know, I mean, you didn't change anything. You just took that big shiny badge and put it on another bad guy. Okay, so it was, yeah, so he and I have always been at this, and I think, you know, everybody's starting to, you know, I do agree, I understand, you go at the top, you go at the bottom, you go at the whatever, but if, for me, and as we see this Lovolution thing happen, and the voluntarist movement, and Ron Paul channel, and all that kind of stuff, you're starting to see the manifestations of what the anarchist, voluntarist, leave-me-aloneist libertarians are seeing, is that, look, it is never going to be a system beating a system to stamp out bad systems. Bad guys use systems. And when you dismantle that, then the good people get, and they'll point to the bad person and the poster child of the took advantage of somebody something. But at least it wasn't legalized freaking theft at the head of everything. It's got a Goldman Sachs suit. You know, I'm going, seriously. You know, this, I'm going, you know, I
so verbal.
You know, but you understand my point. It's a perspective.
Yes.
So as you're going through this, we're like going, you know, wow, what kind of great perspective are we getting as Karen becomes aware of a lot of these things that we've been hearing, all these conspiratorial money and the interest goes to and paid this and the bonds and debt and derivatives of the Social Security. I was born in America. Yay. I mean, you know, so we get it. And we want to follow everything that you're doing in your realizations, but I am definitely not going to avoid the opportunity of while you're on at such a crucial moment in humanity's history and not point out the perfect example from our perspective that it is systems that's the problem, this collectivization of power and the idea that we can control or get the right person to wear the ring or something like that will fix it. That's, I, you know, since I'm definitely opposed to that, you know, I would make use of the opportunity to point that out. See, here we have another system that we're trying to control, and you're not going to be more powerful, more lethal, more deadly, more scummy than the big bad guys that have all the media, have all the money, have all the power, have all the shiny badges. They want to be in charge of that system. And even if they do it in the name of reform, you're still going to have, you know, you got to sit there and babysit it all the time. And I'm not for a babysitting job, you know. So this realization of where we're going has an enormous credit given to you for exposing and coming out and have the bravery to do what you're doing. Don't ever think I don't appreciate what you're doing. It's just our opinion on what the solution is going to be a little different. But that doesn't mean we don't love you.
I think the issue about what the solution is going to be, I don't think anybody at this point really knows what the solution is going to be. It's got to be a process, and that people really keep their eye on that process, because you better believe all of those, whoever they are, control freaks, want to hijack the process so that they can, and you're right, systems are there to be hijacked. So, but once you know the way to control the system, which is keep your eye on the whistleblowers and protect them, and then you get the information, and then you make sure that you're part of that, whoever it is that's designing.
Oh, we're following
the table.
Just like we're following you and spending time with you and have you on a regular basis to help keep you safe.
That's the point. I mean, that is the point.
We did this with Sabelle Edmonds.
There are a lot of other whistleblowers. I'm not the only whistleblower. And get them on and get the whole, you know, sordid mess out there for people to start fixing.
Well, we started, we've been doing a lot of people. Sabelle Edmonds has been on a lot. And we've kept, and I tell you, when she finally wrote her book, I can't remember, Woman something. But, Sabelle Edmonds did her book, and I read it. And the last time I had her on, I was like, seriously, you could not possibly have been this naive. And what she did was the same thing. You know, these are trusting people that go, well, it says here on this little worksheet, I go to my next in command. And I go to my next in command. And then I go up and I fill out the right paperwork. And I go to the, you know, and then she experienced the same thing you did. And I'm going, seriously, what the hell did you think was going to happen? You know, so this is, I've gone through this before. You know, now there are other people, whistleblowers, that, you know, knew from the beginning because they had a different philosophical bent, like Karen Kwiatkowski, who's Lieutenant Colonel, you know, sitting right there at Office of Special Plans next door in the Pentagon, and saw, you know, there when the, you know, the whatever hit it, and going through all, and she just whistle blew, and I'm going, you know, but she understood not to go to anybody in, you know, chain of command. What did she do? She wrote for Colonel Hackworth's military whatever site under a man's name, and they were looking for a man. She's sitting right there, and it never occurred to them that who was doing them the most damage and exposing them was a woman. It, you know, couldn't be a woman, you know? So I'm just going, yeah, and she kicked their ass. So I'm just going, so don't think I don't understand the power
of
the information.
It's different, because she had information that people could argue should be protected, whereas I have the complete opposite. What I have is I have disclosure rules. I'm trying to end a cover-up of information that people are entitled to. So I'm in a totally different dynamic, totally different. And what is it that I really want? I really want people who are empowered and demand rule of law. That's it. So I'm coming at this from a totally different dynamic.
Oh no, I agree. That's the promise, the rule of law. And I'm just, yeah, but I don't want to, I'm not beating the point. I'm just want to make sure you understand a different perspective, because I think it's generation next. It's coming. You know, it's
all right. Let me tell you where else I'm headed, so you understand. I'm a lawyer, right?
Right.
Now, I've been trying to work within the legal framework, and lawyers police other lawyers. And if, you know, they're licensed, who's licensing them? Lawyers. That's bullshit. Take that right away from the lawyers. And the same for the accountants. So having gone through the system and seen how it malfunctions and where it's broken, once people understand that lawyers are not going to police
lawyers. Karen, I was successful. I have kept you into the next hour. Here we go.
Freedom's Phoenix. Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
She's still here. I go, ah, you got to stay, you got to stay, you got to stay, you got to stay. We're not done. We're not done. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, let me reintroduce you to Karen. You know, this is, I'll just read you a little bit and you can get an idea. Karen Hudis studied law at Yale Law School, economics at University of Amsterdam. She worked in the U.S. Export-Import Bank of the U.S. from 80 to 85, in the legal department of the World Bank from 86 to 2007. I mean, that's what? Long time, over 20 years. She established the Non-Governmental Organization Committee of the International Law Section of the American Bar Association and the Committee on Multilateralism and the Accountability of International Organizations of the American Branch of the International Law Association. You know what she's about? She's about rule of law. She's like, there's rules, and they're not following the rules. They're rule breakers. You know, that's bad. That's bad. And I'm going, yeah, you know, that's kind of how they're set up. And if they don't like the law, they just change it, you know? And let's ask that one question. How many times have you seen them just change the law to suit them? I mean, you had to be sitting there and go, the law is right. They go, oh, that was so last week. We had that changed.
Had all that right, experience? My job was to go into countries, find the people who had the interest of their country at heart, and try to help these people fix the place. So I had a lot of experience with that. And I'll tell you, the number one rule is you don't come to somebody else's country with your idea of what their law should be.
Yeah, you do. It's called confessions of an ex.
What you end up is you wreck their legal system because they don't know and respect the laws anymore. It doesn't look like their laws. It's like the transplant effect. If you put a foreign law in somebody else's country, they reject it.
You know,
so I know what law is and how it grows organically and how to see whether the law is working. So the way I would work is I would go to a country, I would talk to people, I would try to find out from them what it was they were trying to do, and I would show them what other countries had done, explain to them, and see whether it would work there. So I would explain, for example, I worked in Yemen, and they had a lot of people that would leave their country, earn money, and send it back, and the people who they sent it to would then invest that money in the community. And then the government said, oh, no, we're not going to let you do that. So I showed them it was because of the licensing for their civil society organizations that that's what they needed to do. And then I got reassigned because there was corruption in the Aden port. And whenever I would report back at the World Bank that there was corruption, that was the time to have me reassigned.
You know,
that country.
This is
so,
what we
so
learned.
So I came back 10 years later to Yemen, and the people were all excited. Because they had a good law. It was about how they could, their communities could keep the money that was sent from the people that had left Yemen. So that's what my idea is of law. Okay. And I go to the conferences of lawyers, and I can tell you, I went to a couple of conferences of sociologists. I said, oh my God, in my next life, I will never be a lawyer because those people do not know how to party, and they're not very nice either.
Okay.
So that's my idea of law.
Okay, Karen.
My idea of law is that law is what people understand. If they can't understand it, it's not law. And that people enforce themselves. That's law. And they all agree about what makes sense. That's law.
Okay, this is
anything
what I'm trying to interject in here, Karen. I want to make this point. I know when we're on Skype, it's hard for you to hear me while you're talking, but the one thing that I came to mind as you're talking about this is, you know, law and insert, you know, compatible laws with their culture and how and everything, and it's going to be and work and kind of, no. My experience is, I give you a perfect example, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. John Perkins has been on this show quite a few times, and I know you know what I'm talking about. He's like, law schmaw. We go in there, and it says, it goes like this. Here's how the conversation goes with the leaders. Your brains or your signature is going to be on this document. You know, one or the other. It's kind of the Godfather thing. And you can deal with me, or you can deal with the jackals that come assassinate you, or the military will come invade you. We're going to get our way, get used to it, get over it, here it is, and your law be damned, change it. Fix it, do whatever we want because we're the, you know, 1,200-pound gorilla with a gun. And I'm going, okay. So in your experience, as you're doing, you know, this, trying to get the integration of, you know, and respecting human rights, you know, to try and, you know, we can do better and do good, which was the point of the World Bank. I mean, aren't you seeing that you got guys like Perkins, you know, he's trying to atone for his sins. But, you know, didn't you see that as competition to everything you were trying to do?
Okay, I have, it's, again, it's not either or, it's and the World Bank is many, many things. And one of the things it is it's a knowledge bank. And a political scientist, Jacek Kugler, from Claremont University, came to the World Bank with a very, very accurate stakeholder analysis that had been developed in the defense intelligence community. You know how when a pilot is learning how to fly a plane and he gets in a flight simulator? This is a simulator for political science. And it's 90 to 95% accurate if the people who are giving, you know, the raw data into the model know what they're talking about. So I modeled rule of law at the World Bank using Jacek Kugler's model. He had already modeled political power in the world. I didn't know about that. But it turned out that our models were very, very similar. And I've been working from that model. So the World Bank is not only these control freaks come in and hijack a country's finances. The World Bank is also sharing knowledge and making that available. And who do you think is going to end up with the World Bank as it becomes? Who do you think is going to win? Is it going to be the economic hitman, or is it going to be real rule of law? That's the question. I'm not saying that I know that it's going to be real rule of law, but I'll give you a hint. Jacek Kugler gave me this model in 2004. And then I was trying to contact him for years. I couldn't, he wasn't answering the emails. And then all of a sudden he came back. Why? Because Elaine Colville, who's a whistleblower from Scotland, and I got statements up on the UK Parliament website. And our last statement went up on July 20th. And her statement, Elaine Colville's statement, was, when is the UK Parliament going to do its job? What was the thing that we were responding to? The question was, complaints, do they matter? And my statement that went up on the UK Parliament website, my first statement was, I met with this UK Serious Fraud Office, in 2010, the Serious Fraud Office called the Securities and Exchange Commission. The Securities and Exchange Commission stonewalled the Serious Fraud Office. Why doesn't the UK Parliament do something about it? That was my first statement. The second statement was whether you should have private companies doing the government's work. And in the UK, they set up a private commission called the International Commission for Aid Effectiveness. And that group said there's no problem with the World Bank. And so I wrote in the Parliament, I said, that's a bunch of bunk. The ICAI is doing a cover-up, and the UK cannot contract out whether there's a cover-up going on. You are obligated to represent your people, and the Parliament is letting the people down, and here's what you ought to do. And so my third statement was, look, I've told the Parliament twice what was going on. We are running out of time. And what I meant by that is there's something called gold backwardation, which is when people lose confidence in currency. And if you end up in something called permanent gold backwardation, the whole world falls apart because they can't pay for international trade.
When we come back, losing confidence in currency. I want to talk more about that. But I tell you, this is what I know. In the end, freedom always wins. It always wins. It just gets really messy first.
A science fiction car.
Okay. If you'll stay with us, we can keep going, man. You're doing great. This losing confidence in a currency, I really, really, really want to dwell on that a little bit and what you called that and whatever the heck that means. Because, that is what's happening, I think. So
Yes, that is exactly what's happening. Talk about that.
All right, so we'll do that. What'd you call that? It's called what?
It's permanent gold backwardation. That's a fancy way of saying that people will not sell gold for paper currency.
Oh, I got it. Permanent gold what?
Backwardation. That's a trading word. That's when the traders are going to make profit no matter what they do.
Okay, let me wiki that and understand what the heck that means.
Okay, yeah, I can translate it. It's complicated.
Permanent gold backwardation. Like backward, right? Backwardation.
Yeah.
Okay. Help me out here. Backwardation. Normal backwardation, backwardation definition.
I'll give you a hint. Just before the U.S. went off the gold standard, we were headed for that in the 70s.
Okay. Yeah, we got a couple minutes here. Let's play a little bit. The root of the problem is debt worldwide. An incredible tower of debt has been under construction since 1971 when President Nixon defaulted on the gold obligations. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. It's possible to buy, you know, yada, yada, yada. The time is now approaching when all debt will be defaulted. In our perverse monetary system, one party's debt is another's money. A debtor's default will impact the creditor, who is usually also a debtor to other creditors, causing him to default and so on. When this begins in earnest, it will wipe out the banking system and thus everyone's money. The paper currencies will not survive this. We are seeing the early edges of it now in the euro, and it's anyone's guess when it will happen in Japan, though it seems long overdue already. Last of all, it will come to the U.S. And this was January 23rd. Okay, that paragraph right there kind of defines it, and we'll do that. All right. Cool. What's your next step? We'll talk about that, too, when we come back. We'll do the gold backwardation thing and what you're talking about there and how it almost happened. It's going to happen. Here we go. And then you're going like, yep. And next, it's to the center of the something, okay, whatever it is. So you share with us and so on. And then, of course, I mean, you know, your daily life, I mean, you got to have new friends and hanging out with people and spending a lot of, you know, your fingertips are raw like a, you know, junior high kid playing a video game on the, you know, keyboards or something, you know. So we'll talk about it. We'll be back in 10 seconds.
Okay.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
You grew up tall and proud, in the shadow of the mushroom cloud, which now voices can't be heard.
Everything, we'll get right back to her. You know, this one thing she brought up before we went to the break. She goes, we're getting to the point of permanent gold backwardization. And I'm going, whoa, that sounds like, you know, that's $10 words, man. You know, I mean, you know, damn. You know, what?
It's backwardation. No, it's not backwardization. It's backwardation.
Okay,
but it's
you.
A technical term for the gold traders. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to get tangled up in it. The most important thing is for people to understand what it really means. And it's very basic. It's very simple. If paper is paper and gold is gold, and as long as you have confidence in paper, you'll sell your gold. But if you lose confidence in paper, and any paper currency always ends with people losing confidence in it. That's what paper is. Paper is paper.
You know,
and when you get to the point where people are starting to lose confidence in the paper, that's when you enter something called gold backwardation. And if people start getting really nervous, then it's called permanent gold backwardation. And that's where people will not sell gold at any price. Now, I was telling you that whistleblowers come to me. There's not just whistleblowers, but people who understand what's going on, experts. And the expert in gold is an economist named Antal Fekete. And so Antal came to me and he gave me some of his expertise. It first started with a gold trader from Brazil, Tocoa da Silva, who did an interview with me because he understood that the gold markets were starting to get nervous and he saw what I was working on. And what I was working on was I was just writing all the ministers of finance saying, you've got to cover up. People who are buying World Bank bonds are not getting accurate financial statements. You've got to fix this. And I didn't understand about gold. And then Antal Fekete came and started educating me on this. And so what happened on July 7th is when you're a central bank, you're supposed to have gold. And if you have gold, you can lease it out and earn money on it. It doesn't just sit there. So when you've got fiat currency, and fiat is just another word for paper, when you have paper currency and you're a central bank, you can lease your gold and earn money on it. And what happened on July 7th was the central banks refused to lease their gold because they realized that we were entering a situation where at the end of the lease, they may not get their gold back. The risk was too high. It was too risky. Wow. And when that happens, you know that you're on a slippery slope to permanent gold backwardation.
Okay, let me go ahead and I was looking this up, trying to get an understanding of this. And I'll read this to you guys, and you'll kind of, it's just a quick paragraph. When gold backwardization becomes permanent, Keith Winter over at moneymetals.com, blah, blah, blah. The time is now fast approaching when all debt will be defaulted. In our perverse monetary system, one party's debt is another's money. Yeah, we heard that. A debtor's default will impact the creditor, who is usually also a debtor to yet other creditors, causing him to default and so on. When this begins in earnest, it will wipe out the banking system and thus everyone's money. The paper currencies will not survive this. We are seeing the early stages of it now in the euro, and it's anyone's guess when it will happen in Japan, though it seems long overdue already. Last of all, it will come to the U.S. of A. And we've seen this before. I can't remember what they call it. Gresham's Law or something like that. It's good money, you know, is driven out by bad money. And I give you a perfect example. In 64, it was last year that they had 90% silver in the coins. When they started after JFK's assassin done, and LBJ and the Fed, and they get what they want, boom, we're going to put all kinds of, you know, pot metal and kind of crap into the coins, and here you go. And what happened to all that silver? They just go, oh, yeah, here's this real silver, dimes and quarters and whatever, and give me the fake stuff. Well, I'm sure a lot of people did, but let me tell you what happened. When they did that, everybody went, you know what? You just drove with your bad money all the good money out of the system. And right now you can buy bags of what they call junk silver in the form of real silver U.S. currency. Here comes the dime cards and the silver calculators that we have on the smartphones and so on. This is exactly what's happened. It's happening really fast now, and it's what Karen is talking about. Permanent gold backwardization or backwardation, whatever. So this is, I can see it happening. Do you see some breaks on this or a stop to it, or are all fiat currencies dead and we're looking for something else and you just want to manage the dismantling? What are you hoping, you know, will happen? What's your next project? What are you going to be doing?
Well, what happened in the 1900s was most of the world's gold and precious silver and also basket loads of diamonds got buried in Indonesia and also in the Philippines. And people are now ready to bring this out. It's going to happen in short order. And the question is, are we going to have control freaks who are going to be managing this, or is it going to be something where all the people are going to sit there and figure out what system they want? Whether the fiat system, you know, that's it's very clear. The Bank for International Settlements and the Federal Reserve are fired. They're fired. But what's happened is that the Chinese have teamed up with the Vatican, and they're trying to take over control, and they are trying to bring martial law to the United States.
Wow.
And in the meantime, I have told all the sheriffs, I've told all the attorneys general, I've told all the governors, and I've told the ministers of finance for 188 countries that we don't want control freaks telling us how to manage the world.
How would they do that?
That's a non-starter.
How would they do that?
Stakeholder analysis that I was telling you about that's 90 to 95% accurate is predicting rule of law, i.e. we are going to manage this process, not the Chinese and Vatican working together. That is history. That's wishful thinking. They're fired. So when you come to me and you say, okay, well, let's look at this whole problem about, Perkins. Perkins is irrelevant at this point. We're not talking about Perkins. We're talking about whether the control freaks who think they're going to win. They're not going to win. The only thing that's going to happen is the whole human race is going to blow up the earth. That's that's all that – can you see with all the tanks in the streets in the United States is – We're gonna have people fighting to the last. We're not gonna, you know, we're not a people that's gonna allow the Chinese to come in here and tell us how to run our country. That's not gonna happen.
Okay,
and
the people are going to fight to the last. When we come back after this break, you're gonna find out fight for what? Against what? You go, we win, and now the guys with the guns were the new guys with the guns in charge of the, you know, gun makers. I mean, that's just, you know, we're gonna fight. For what? Do we understand? What's the philosophy? What are we realizing is happening? You know, Karen's going to help us. Karen is helping us. Karen has put a lot on the line just to be able to sleep well. Good people in important places is what's going to save us. And it's a bunch of us making daily decisions. It's called wallet voting.
MindThings.com is a fun online.
WalletVoting.com. I got that in 2003 when I first started doing radio, and I understood, you know, where this was all going to go. It was going to come down to people just making individual decisions on the go. No matter what your problem was, it's always going to come down to individuals making decisions. And this attack or this imminent we rule of law force kind of, I give you a perfect example of the collectivist kind of what our real problem is the militarization of local police, this fusion center stuff, these Homeland Security, de la, we rule you, you wear the black uniform, and you get overtime, and we bring in all the guys to control these occupiers down downtown Phoenix or Wall Street or New York or wherever the hell, Washington, doesn't matter, Philadelphia. We are going to have all these people complaining. Well, guess what? We brought in, you know, all the little communities around Phoenix here in Tempe, Mesa, Glendale, Peoria. They bring in a few little cops here, and they all put on the same black suit. They go out there with their shield, and we rule you. But to do that, what they have to do first, they had to collectivize law enforcement. They had to, you know, have the boots on the ground, as you're saying, and we rule them. Where before, you could have expected, you know, maybe the sheriff's department or one city, say, hey, man, you're not doing that in our town. You know, we're the guns, and we say no. Well, they go, no, you signed on to our little benefit overtime grant money, de la, you get your Bearcat armored personnel tank, you know, and we go, you're ours now. So you're saying, in addition to that, there is they, them, those coming over little blue berets, and they're going to be imposing whatever the hell, you know, squash civil unrest in America, and the civil unrest may not be them in the streets, which is what they want to see. I'm telling everybody, I go, why are you in the streets? Why are you sitting there lining up to have the orange netting put around you and shipped off to Camp de la, whatever the hell? Why are you even doing, you know, don't help them, screw them. You know, just stop using their money. Stop being part of stop helping them. Stop turning your children over to the state. Stop doing the government school, blah, 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 blah. Stop. You know, you're just helping. So I'm going, all right. So you're saying there is going to be a physical we rule coming in, and it's going to be a big play of force and intimidation, and they're hoping there won't be insurgents here in America. And now you start to see why the freedom guys are all about not going laying waste, and, you know, it's the love, but you don't mind if I love you while I got my, you know, firearms. You know what I mean? So I'm going, so when we come back, I'm going to kind of do a quickie preface, kind of like that, and then why are we worried about there actually being a physical force that's coming here to do this? Why would you be concerned? Who's doing it? What? And then why? And then what would be the end result of that? Is it just to get one more election cycle? To get one more year? To get one more, you know, high-ranking season on CNN or something? I mean, what is it they think they're going to put off? Because empires don't die voluntarily. Okay. And if that's what's going on here, you know, share with us everything that you know about how in the hell, you know, they are going to try and control us. And they, you know, the Romans learned this. Conquer is easy. Control is not. You know, we got them conquered. Well, now they're trying to control. With what? More conquering? I mean, you know, they're going to do this, and it's just finally just going to, you know, I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee, and you throw dog poop on government shoes and badges everywhere, and the people just, you know, I'm done. You know? It's over. So it's in the mind. And as quick as it'll have the same kind of, you know, Gresham's Law, bad money driving out good, it happens with, you know, just countries and freedom. And the whole next generation, they're already immediately communicating with everybody on the internet and everybody and whatever anyway. You know, so, all right, here we go.
Freedom's the answer.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Raising a generation next to my kids and grandkids, we're going to whip ass, whip ass, whip ass, by not having to really do that much. You know, if you understand where the powers are collected, you know, and, you know, Karen, you just, from the World Bank, is helping Attorney Four, and she's whistleblowing on, and getting, all of a sudden, everybody's going, you know, Karen, you the woo man, and we want to help, and we're going to share, and we're going to give you some more, and you tell the peoples. And I'm much more optimistic about it than probably most, because when they're screaming the loudest, you know you're doing them the most harm. And I can see that they're screaming. You know, and they're screaming because Karen's out there, you know, sharing what's up. So what I want to do is go ahead. She's really made a lot of references to them coming after. I mean, physically doing it. We've already seen this happen. I remember in the 90s, it was a big thing, you know, all the freedom guys screaming, look, it's called multi-jurisdictional task forces. Now they just call it fusion centers. You know, they got, you know, the Department of Homeland Save Us, you know, kind of thing. And I'm going, all right. What you take is you got local law enforcement that were supposed to be there to defend the rights of the individuals. I mean, it used to be that way. And now officer friendly, you know, protect and serve is, you know, they don't even put that on the car anymore. Okay. It's a kick your ass. That's what we are. So you have the counter to that is what? Like cop block. You know, we're just going to videotape all this kind of, you know, and ask questions. Well, this is what's happened. They've collectivized power to the point to where you have an Occupy, Phoenix, Philadelphia, New York, Wall Street, Washington, wherever the heck, you get people together, and all of a sudden you got a bunch of guys in black suits with no name badges, no numbers on, they're all in their shields and face thing, batons, and beating the crap out of, and they populated it with some grant money and overtime pay of every cop from every jurisdiction of little town going under the rule of they, them, those, and the Fed, and kind of, we're going to tell you what. Well, you think that's not going to get even larger? It's not going to get more? It's not going to... Of course, that's their plan. What do you think the trend has been? It's collectivization of force. The monopolization of force. You're so not allowed. Here comes the gun control thing. So I go, all right. Karen is saying, look, it's worse than that. They're going to need a whole bunch of troops that come out, and their loyalty is we're exactly the same attitude that I believe Karen had, that we can do good with a world organization to bring peace, freedom, prosperity to the individual, you know, from on high. Well, they're going to do that with a gun, which the World Bank invented a gun anyway. But, you know, here they come. Now, Karen has been, you know, exposed to this information. She wants to share with us, and I want it. I just want to preface, this is always the ultimate result of an empire going down. It always comes down to force, fear, intimidation. But the Soviet Union found under Stalin that it just suppressed all innovation, all economic activity. It got so bad that when Stalin went, all of a sudden, here comes, Brezhnev, Khrushchev, all of them Fs. And they come in and they say, hey, we're going to kind of lighten up a little bit and see what's up. You know, we'll do the space, right? We'll kind of a little bit more freedom. And the more you do that, the more prosperity you get. But it also starts to get out of control. And empires die. And in that process, they get violent. So with that background, Karen, tell us what we need to be really concerned about, what you think is happening, and how do you know this?
I'm just going by what a whistleblower told me, which was that 380,000 troops are going to be surrounding Washington on October 1st. But don't forget, I'm still here. I'm telling you this. Now, when I told Greg Hunter this, and he put this up on his website, Google took down the video. So what happened? Greg gave it to me, and we put it up on a different server. So we're in a different... We're in a different scenario. It's not happening. These 300,000 troops in Washington on October 1st, I'm telling you this now, and it's what, September 6th. Do you think that game plan is going to work when everybody knows that it's happening? No, it's not going to work. That's the whole point about it. We're in a different scenario. The people who thought that was a good idea, the Chinese and Vatican, are out of their mind.
Okay, this is what Donna's doing right now. She's sending you an email to remind you to send her the link to the Hunter video that you're talking about so we can get up in the show notes now. Okay?
Yeah, I think we will.
The Levolution's going to say, oh, and I love it when Google and YouTube and everything bans all kinds of stuff. It helps you get more attention. Okay, now.
It does. That's exactly right. Exactly. These control freaks have not figured it out. But let's go back to what I was telling you before about this stakeholder analysis, which predicted that we were going to get rule of law, not that we were going to get Chinese Vatican control take over the United States with 380,000 boots on the ground in Washington. Okay? That's not happening. I don't want to be panicking people. I'm telling you, because you're hearing this now, shows you that it's not happening. I've told all the sheriffs that there's a group operating out of the Department of Defense, which is Assistant Secretary Peter Varga, he's linked to Homeland Security, and there's a group of 10 governors. It's co-chaired by my governor, Martin O'Malley, and also by Iowa's governor, Branstad. I think his first name is Terry. I can't remember. Anyway, I've been writing all these guys. I've been saying, you are governors. Are you governors to have the Chinese and Vatican take over the United States? That is a bunch of bunk. It's not happening. And the fact that all these people know about this, it's not happening. Rule of law is happening. That's what I'm telling you. And let's get back to this business about big power structures are always bad. When you start out with a situation where it's there, it's irrelevant to say whether they're good or bad. It's a fait accompli. It's a fact. And we have got to figure out what to do with it now that it's there. It's ridiculous to be debating about whether it should be there. It's there. It's there. So now that we all agree it's there, what do we do about it? I'll tell you what we do about it. We now have rule of law, and we all, and when I say we, I mean 188 countries, including the United States, stay focused on where we now are, and we get it to where we want it to be, and we do it systematically.
Where do we want it to be? Where do we want it to be?
We all agree. And we have transparent information for the first time. For the first time in the history of the world, we all are going to be on the same page because we all have transparent information. And if you think you don't have transparent information, you find the first best whistleblower you can and you spring that whistleblower out of jail. And the first thing that needs to happen is Bradley Manning needs to get out of jail. Immediately. Immediately.
Okay, we've seen this happen before. I'll give you an example. You say we need transparent.
Beverly Manning. My daughter told me I've got it wrong. Beverly Manning.
Chelsea.
No, Chelsea Manning. Right. I got it wrong again. Manning needs to get out of jail.
Yeah, and that sex issue thing I couldn't possibly care less about. You know, in Europe, a friend of mine came from Europe and he goes, you know, they're laughing at us. You know, they're looking at, wow, what's the information that Snowden and Manning, you know, gave us? And they're focusing on that. Well, we're focusing on, you know, what eyeglass wear Snowden has or something. I mean, who cares, you know?
But right.
the thing is that when you're talking about transparency, you know, my perspective, the first thing that comes to mind is that was the promise that Obama made. We're going to have transparency and, yeah, right, okay? So what happens? He prosecutes more whistleblowers than anybody else all combined. I mean, so I'm just going, what they say doesn't mean anything. But we're getting the transparency that you're talking about because of technology, because of people like you, but it's not the system that's doing it. It's in spite of the system. It's what this overwhelming, we don't care what the system does. You know, people as individuals want the truth. I mean, I see this coming, and there's nothing that's going to stop that. I agree. But where are we going? You said, if we're going to fix it, if we're going to get what we want with the transparency to correct these institutions. So when we come back, we're going to go ahead and find out what the goal is. We want to fix it. Then what does it look like? How does it respond? You know, responds to whom? You know, that's what we're going to find out. That's what Karen's been thinking about for a long time. We're going to help her express herself. When we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Robertson Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, Donna is Google searching. Maybe she can find that. She asked you for it. Did I just put Karen Hudis, Greg Hunter video, and it might come up?
Yeah, it will, because it's back up on his website.
Okay, cool. Did you see something, Donna? Okay, that's it? Okay, go ahead and put that up. Yeah, I think she found it. Okay, this is the big question now. This is it, all right? When we come back, I'm like, all right, if we fix it, what does a fixed, whatever it is, look like? I mean, you know, I give you best shot. I won't interrupt you. Guy already made my point. I get it. They're going to know. They're going to sit there. See, this is what happens. I imagine all my listeners sitting there. Get her, Ernie. Do it. Tell her like it is, man. Go, Kevin. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You know, and I can already see that. So this time, I'm just going to, because on the Skype, it's difficult for me to interject anyway, because you can't hear me when you're talking. So I'm just going to let you go. But I need to know what the fix looks like so we can recognize it. You know, you go, this is fixed, okay? How do I know it's fixed? Well, because of this. So whatever that is, you know, think about it and then give us the cure. You know, the world rose, you know, is all a bloom on, you know, your world after whatever, you know, it looks like what? You see my point?
Yep.
All right, cool.
Excuse me, is this where I get a license to start a new business?
I wouldn't be hasty. You have to get a license to go out of business, too, you know.
Oh, well, look, I've invented this little anti-gravity machine, see?
Oh, is that why you're walking 2 inches above the floor?
Oh, yes, it's very comfortable. It saves on shoe leather.
Yeah, well, you have to fill out these forms and report to the Human Services Department of Manpower Orientation and register with the Fair Employment Practice Commission, the Wage and Hour Division of the Employment Standards Administration, the State Sales and Income Tax Division, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and of course, OSHA.
OSHA? I thought that was a little town in Wisconsin.
You'll find out. Say, floating around like that could be dangerous. Have you checked with the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, not yet.
Come to think of it, you actually are flying, aren't you? Look, you need to go over to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation...
It's very hard to get anything done these days if you're in business, but free enterprise built this country. Think what could happen if we don't keep it free. The public service of this station and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, Bellevue, Washington.
You just can't have people floating about unregulated, you know.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train.
You know, let me tell you, when you get a peace train, when you got war drums, okay, I mean, you know, you don't really understand how much, you know, people desire peace until they're, you know, like, screaming, hey, man, can I have a little bit of peace, please, you know, or not please. And I feel it coming. This Syria thing. They're really, when you got John Kerry up there saying the same things Paul Wolfowitz, oh, the Arab country's going to pay. We're going to make money. We should go to war all the time. We make some money. Yeah, how'd that worked out? And I'm like, seriously, I can't believe the things that these people are saying. So I'm going, all right. You know, the people are becoming aware. They're waking up because they can. They're bypassed, you know, the ratings of MSNBC, NBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox News, they're just next. You know, people are like, what? You know, if it's not on my tablet, De La, Roku, I didn't, I pick the movie stuff I want, I'm not immersing myself, I'm done. You know where I go get mine? I go Freeman's Phoenix, okay? I'll go somewhere, I go Daily Paul, I'll go somewhere else. You know, I'll go Prison Plant, whatever, you know, don't care. You know, heck, we peruse through the information ourselves. And a lot of what I'm seeing all of a sudden of late is a lot. What? A lot of Karen Hutis. Karen Hutis, World Bank, saying, oh, you didn't think it had everything to do with the money. Well, let me explain it to you. Well, we're going to fix it. You know, people, it gets fixed one way or another, gets fixed. In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. Well, to help avoid some of the mess, Karen thinks it's going to be through just the ability of transparency. You know, it's a WikiLeaks kind of thing. I just saw a trailer for WikiLeaks, the movie. I guess it's coming out here pretty. I'm going, oh, that might be interesting. Some people may not want that out, but it could be a controlled spin job on what, you know, we don't know. But transparency helps. And you out there sharing and adding to and peer review of gets it fixed. Now, Karen has a vision. For her and all her life's work has been to realize this vision. It's what drives her to do this. And I'm going to let her tell you what is that vision. When she gets what she wants, she does all this work for an end, which is what? Karen, help us out. What are you hoping to attain with your efforts?
Okay. The first thing I have to say is that it's not me. It's a whole group and network of whistleblowers. I get to speak for a lot of us. And then they come back when I've made a mistake and they say, Karen, you got it all wrong. So the first thing is it's not my vision. Okay. It's everybody's vision. The only thing I'm bringing to this party is I was part of the team, and I was using the law, because securities laws are pretty good. They say there has to be transparency. And I went to the U.S. Congress, and the people in the U.S. Congress also agreed when the World Bank asked them for money, because there had been this big cover-up and they didn't like it. They didn't like being lied to. Congress did not like being lied to. They said, we are going to appropriate the money, but you don't get to spend a penny of it until the effect of retaliation against whistleblowers has been eliminated. So what my vision is I don't have a vision, but I can promise everybody that I have a big mouth, and I have told people what's going on, and your people are really the bedrock of all of this. Because the people that I've been talking to, I said, these people, earnest people, are not going to take the bullshit that you are trying to dish out to them. They're not going to believe you because they know you're liars. And they're not going to accept 300,000 troops on the ground to take away their freedom. That's not happening. And the reason that I was able to get that information out is because I had a very accurate stakeholder analysis that predicted that rule of law would win. What is rule of law? It's that the governed consent to being governed. And how do they consent? They get information. They get the information. There was a big cover-up, and that was what was driving my ability, because I could document how the mainstream media was covering up the truth. I have a whole chronology on my website. You can see all the different times I went to the press, and the press covered it up from the American people. So they indicted themselves. So what's going to happen going forward? People are going to continue to get information, and they're going to know whether or not they're getting information, because they're going to hear it from the whistleblowers on the inside that are not going to be punished. And if whistleblowers are being punished, you know that you're not getting the information. So your job is to be there to protect whistleblowers. That's your job.
You know what?
And to pay attention, to figure out what's going on. Don't let somebody come to you with, you know, gobbledygook, and the lawyers are good at that, and everybody else is good at that. Don't let them confuse you. And what I was saying during the break to Ernest is, don't let the lawyers be in charge of licensing other lawyers, because they let the big crooks off the hook. So the people have got to take that back, and they've got to throw the dishonest lawyers out of their job. And they've got to make lawyers write laws that people can understand. And this garbage about Congress enacting laws that they haven't read, no, that's not happening. So what has to happen is that everybody has to agree about learning about what's going on. No secret powers behind the scenes. Everything out in the open. and let people figure out what makes sense. And we're obviously not going to get it right off the bat, but we're going to have information to figure out what it is that we screwed up, and we're going to keep on fixing it. That's what it is. And I agree that we don't want big power structures, but we've inherited them now, and we have to figure out how to get them back on track.
You know, one thing that's interesting is that you have you've brought it back to where a lot of people bring it, is Vatican. It was amazing. We started off the show with the Vatican and China and this and kind of old debt that we owe since back in the day in 1812, and we started and through UK and kind of, you know, and I've heard this stuff before, and I tell you, it's where the Vatican is involved in all of these different countries at a fundamental level, not in like they got a seat or an official presence in some country. They just own the people that are in charge of those countries, or they pay them off, or they're part of them, or they're Catholic, or whatever. And that's one thing that was, you know, feared with JFK. They go, yeah, but would the Pope run America then or something? And they're going, ah, you're funny. They've been doing it for 100 years already anyway. So this is what you're bringing up, is that you have these multinational interests, of which the Vatican certainly is. They're not like Senate. They're their own country. You have these multinational corporations, multinational World Bank, multinational. So I'm asking you, is that, do you really see any borders anymore? Do you see this new world for good or bad or whatever is going to eventually be some entity? Or should we dismantle it down to the smallest the individual? I mean, what do you see as the power structure that the people are going, with transparency, are going to be able to control or keep under? Is there one?
I would have to be somebody who could see into the future to know how everybody's going to answer that question. All I'm saying is that everybody has got to know who's deciding and hold those people accountable until they get what they want. And this is the first time we've ever had that. And we're probably not going to do a good job of it. That's what the elites have always said. They've always said people didn't know what was good for them. We'll do what's good for them. So the first thing that has to happen is people have got to take their job seriously. They've got to get themselves up to speed on what I'm telling them. And they can't do it by themselves. They have to meet with other people in their communities. And the very first thing they have to do is they have to stop being intolerant of other people, or they're certainly not going to get themselves in a situation where they can understand what's really going on. And it's not all their fault, because these differences have been exploited, you know, like divide and conquer. People have got to, you know, everybody's human. So I don't think we should go on a binge of going out and punishing the ones who have been caught in the system. Don't forget that there have been a lot of people that have been murdered for trying to step out of line and punished. So going and punishing people for being intimidated, that doesn't sit very well with me.
You know,
but
the first,
people have got to figure out which end is up.
The first thing,
the first place to start is they have to look inside themselves and figure out where their blind spots are, so that they can see clearly what's going on.
You know, the first thing that you're bringing up is that we have the people that are warning us that they are protected. Like Karen says, you know, the whistleblower, when they're going after the whistleblower, when you're hung up for treason, spend the rest of your life in jail for pointing out that we're murdering, killing, raping, pillaging, torturing people. You know, that's not the sin. Pointing it out is. Oh, man, do they need to be replaced or what? But with what? Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
Free Talk Live.
There we go. Thank you very much for staying over, Karen. You see, it goes fast.
Thanks for having me. This has been really, really fun.
You know, this, I tell you, you know, the one thing that I'm really, I can't emphasize enough, we're going on a regular basis be bugging you, because I did the same thing with Sabelle and Karen and a lot, and I saw the evolution. I tell you what happened. It was in 08, 09, or 06. It might have been before the Ron Paul Levolution thing. I think it was for the 06 campaign. Sabelle Edmonds called, and she had an entire group of, you know, her whistleblower group that she has, and they all wanted to run for Congress. Okay? They're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and run for Congress, and we're all going to take up camp. We're going to get it out, man. We're going to give them what for, and we're going to, and I, you know, I what can I do to help, and, you know, whatever, but I don't want to have part. I want to be on the board. I don't want to, you know, because I already know it's not going to be a political answer. They're going to suppress everything that you come, they're not going to give you coverage. Exactly what they tried to do to Ron Paul. It wasn't Ron Paul that got the attention. It was the Levolution. It was the people insisting that they be heard to the point they go put signs up on every freaking freeway overpass on the planet. And this was not just the United States. It went everywhere. This is a generational thing. And one thing we didn't get to really delve into was the they're not being borders. Like, the Vatican doesn't respect any border. I mean, they just do whatever the hell they want to do, and they're all over the place. So the people, they're starting to cut. You got people in Israel doing I Love Iran websites.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, and we covered that heavily in into 2012. We were right in the middle of all that. You know, we have a Haria Phoenix, Arabic for Freedom's Phoenix, on our Arabic Twitter and Facebook for Freedom's Phoenix, and we translate Freedom's Phoenix into 39 languages, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, I could see worldwide, you know, Palestine loves Israel, Israel loves Syria. You know, the people are not in support of this. And this Syria thing is a big, giant, if they do anything, which they're going to do something, they, you know, because they can't not, because they don't know how not. When they do something, they them those, it's going to be a very neon flashing obvious understanding that this entire country, the world, is under occupation. We are simply occupied by what? It is a philosophy of this thing can rule you kind of deal. And I'm going, all right. And that's the what, you know, why we have a contention. Don't think I don't appreciate what you're doing. Go get them, and I'll give you every voice, and you can say what I'm going to share, and let's go kick ass. But my goal, in the end, is not to have some transparency on a we rule you with a velvet glove and we're good rulers. It's to not have any, you know? So I'm, that's where I'm going, this voluntarist idea of, you know, leave me aloneism. So we're definitely going to remain friends on this. I want to be an outlet for you to be able to tell whatever you want on this stuff. But just understand, I'm like, to me, it's not a person or a thing that's bad. It's us allowing the concept of we're delegating authority to tell me how to live. That is the problem. So it's Most Dangerous Superstition is a book by Larkin Rose that really explains that well. Well, is there, you know, we'll go ahead and ping you in a month or so and, you know, see if we can get you back and give us updates, because I think a lot of things are going to happen really fast.
You know it. Well, you put this up and you get the pushback from it, there's going to be a lot.
You know, I don't really
letting me speak here.
Yeah, I don't really get that kind of pushback. Other than, I mean, the biggest pushback I get with my audience and everything, I wasn't, you know, advocating enough, or I wasn't hard enough, or I didn't yell enough, or something. Anyone that when they, because of our audience so overwhelmingly voluntarist, when this stuff goes up and somebody complains, they get the living crap beat out of them by the other commenters. You know, it's just I almost want them to come in and complain. It just beats the crap out of them. And if I'm really lucky, they'll cancel the video. You know, so have fun with that. Karen, love you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Please stay in touch.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Let us be of any help that we can, and Donna and I will be.
You are.
It's our pleasure. Karen, enjoy the rest of your day, will you please?
Will do, and the pleasure's mine, Ernest.
Bye-bye, Karen.
Bye.
Bombs.com. In the UK, a surge of soldiers want to quit the army. According to their own numbers, the latest round of army applications to leave early was 40% oversubscribed by volunteers wanting to quit. The highest percentage of those throwing in the towel? Officers. Less than two-thirds of those who applied to leave were let go. One senior army source said, quote, "It's the worst I've seen it." We're talking about highly experienced, middle-ranking officers who have spent the last 12 years in Iraq and Afghanistan. On a related note, the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee is meeting this November 1st to the 3rd in Manhattan. If you'd like to show your resistance to the war, or perhaps you'll consider joining the millions of Americans who choose not to file income taxes this year. You know what politicians are doing with your money, and you don't condone it. At some point, you've got to stop sending it to them. Learn more by searching National War Tax Resistance. Speaking of tax resistance, Obamacare's excessive taxes are forcing employers and employees alike to make unwanted concessions. They'd both like to keep working the same number of hours, but the law forces employers to make unwanted cutbacks to avoid a newly introduced penalty. During a recent interview, even the AFL-CIO president admitted the unintended consequences of Obamacare are leading employers to, quote, restructure their workforce to give workers 29 and a half hours so they don't have to provide them with health care. Perhaps the solution is less meddling by bureaucrats in others' private affairs. Peace News Now is on the Next News Network and is brought to you in part by friends of WeUseCoins.com. I want you to share this episode, and if you enjoyed it, send some Bitcoin to donate.peacenewsnow.com. I'm Derek J., reminding you that peace is the way.
All experts agreed this week that the dying U.S. economy is no reason at all to stop investing in print media. Calling the newspaper and magazine industry a veritable cash cow with massive potential for growth, top experts everywhere said that aggressive investment in print media will pay off in spades and that newsprint is in no way threatened by internet news sites or online video content. Besides, everyone in the know agreed, loyal readers of newspapers would never, ever in a million years turn their back on the trusted print media industry that is always been there for them in good times and bad.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no freaking fear. Here on Declare Your Independence, you know, Karen Hudis from the World Bank, 2 hours, kind of, you're welcome. I mean, damn. You know, we got, you heard it, you know, she said, here, they, them, those come. And they come in a lot of different ways, too. There's one thing that we're going to do in this hour. We're going to talk about EMF, you know, electronic field, daylight, magnetic, getting, you know, changing at the very core of the whatever. And I, you know, this is something that we have heard, you know, building up for a long time. And I have a lot of friends that are, you know, very concerned about this. As we go on, you start, you know, a little more cancer this, a little bit more health that. There's some kind of, oh my goodness, we have a meter and I live in the metropolis of, and let me put this thing up, and it goes, woo! And the meter gets pegged and over, and caveman did not live in an electromagnetic soup of, oh my goodness, we're electrical human beings that are affected by. And to think that it has absolutely no effect on us is to be naive. How big an effect, or if the effect is even negative. Heck, for all I know, it, you know, spark evolution of become enlightened beings of the multidimensional daylight, what the heck? You know, we don't know. And that's what the problem is. We don't know. So we need to know. Well, who am I going to give you? You know, going to help us out. Cindy DeBach from EMFDoctors.com. EMFDoctors.com. And I want to give some credence to this, you know, right off the bat. I have a lot of people that I know that have resources. Now, imagine you got every toy you ever wanted, and what do you concern yourself with more than anything else after you got all your goodies? Your health, to enjoy them, and your family. You're going, all right, I want to live a week longer. I want to live a couple of you know, years longer. I want to live a couple of decades longer. I want to be in better health. I want to make sure that as I take my resources and I'm going, all right, I got all my goodies. And then, you know, I'm spending a third of my life sleeping in a magnetic field of whatever the heck. And all I got to do is, you know, put a canopy over my bed or get, you know, the more expensive sheets here or put myself in a countering field of the blah, 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 whatever. And all of a sudden, my life is better. So we're going to talk about this. We'll talk about the phenomenon first. Cindy DeBach. Cindy, I got you there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Cindy, you know, let's go ahead and talk about this one thing right off the bat. Explain what the threat is, where it comes from, why we see it as a threat, what's the evidence of the threat, and then we'll get into solutions and stuff later, and I know you guys got a lot of products and all that kind of stuff. We'll get to that. I guarantee we got a whole hour. We'll get it taken care of. But the first thing is what are you defending against? What's the problem?
Well, I would say artificial magnetic fields that we're being exposed to on high levels now. Our body is bioelectrical and biochemical, and these smart meters actually are so highly magnetic, and anybody that has a radiation device can see that every 7 to 8 seconds these things are pulsing out with, you know, electromagnetic fields. And some great books that I would also, you know, let people know if they want to learn about it is a book called Vibrational Medicine by Dr. Richard Gerber and The Body Electric, which is very, very good and informative. So I hope that kind of explains a little bit about...
Okay, go ahead and give those books out again. Donna's going to go ahead and put it up on today's archive. So when you say that, if you don't...
Yeah, so people that are very skeptic and they go, well, I don't know if I really believe all this, but the book is called Vibrational Medicine. It's a handbook on subtle energy therapies. So it's Vibrational Medicine by Dr. Richard Gerber, G-E-R-B-E-R, and he is an M.D., and he explains how the body is bioelectrical and biochemical. So a lot of people that say, oh, no, this, that, and the other, well, what it's actually doing, it's creating a lot of havoc in our bodies because of these microwave fields that are damaging on a cellular level.
No, I can give you a perfect example. So when you get the cattle prodding from Mr. Officer, I got a taser. I mean, you go and you tell me you're not electrical, we'll get taser, and I'll tell you how electrical you are. Okay? So this is, so it's just on a different level. And then now the discussion is okay, so I'm getting tasered from a power pole that's out how far along. Now they want to put a smart meter on my house and do, and they can read it from, you know, miles away kind of thing. So I'm... And then the other book was what? You referenced another one.
The other one is The Body Electric, and it's by Robert Becker, M.D., and Gary Selden, S-E-L-D-E-N.
Okay, so we'll make sure we get that up. Thank you.
They're two very good, informative books. People that are skeptic and say, you know, don't believe it, you know, the cell phones, the 4Gs, and all that kind of stuff.
No, let's assume we believe, okay? I don't even want to get into the, you know, I believe there's an effect. It's how much of an effect, and how do we recognize the effect? We'll get in defense against the effect, you know, too. But, you know, my main thing is, let's assume that we're an electrical being, or electricity runs our body and makes the heart go, you know, beat, beat, and we can think, and we love electricity. We're electrical beings. I agree. Done. Now, you know, how do we recognize what's happening here as a threat? What are the symptoms? How do we make the connection between a source and a causality? I mean, what are you looking at?
Well, see, our little regular analog meter, we didn't have any threats going on. But now we've got, on a smart meter, there's two radio transmitters inside. And they're trying to say, oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. But really, all in all, the two transmitters in a smart meter can transmit up to 21 miles. So now you've got hundreds and hundreds of neighbors with these transmitters going off every 7 to 8 seconds. And it's microwave radiation, so it's a pulsing. So it pulses. And what's happening is 1,000 times per second, it's unraveling your DNA. And people can go search this on YouTube or Google, and they can see that these things are so, so hard on the body and the heart and the brain and a lot of the organs of the body, because it is heating up and creating a lot of heat and damage. So it's like you're living in a microwave oven, basically, and you're trying to sleep at night, and a lot of people have, you know, headaches, insomnia, tachycardia is coming up, atrial fib is coming up, and we're having to the point where babies and infants are having heart attacks and strokes, which is just, it's getting way out of control with all this stuff.
Okay, let me share this one and kind of give perspective for the audience, and we'll get into the break here real quick, and we'll get right into the meat of it. And let me tell you, you know, my opinion on this. There has always been, you know, threat to our health. And we, you know, do a lot of it with nutrition. You know, you start to find out, oh, my goodness. So when they started processing, heating, treating, and pasteurizing, and homogenizing, and kind of whatever, all the foods since forever, and certainly since World War II, and all of a sudden, yeah, look at all this grain that we made and everything and a lot, and you get to fill and eat, you know, like a pig, and you're still hungry because you don't get any nutrition. And, you know, we realize that. We're starting to become aware of that. We're going, yeah, you know, they hid this from us. They lied to us. They said it didn't have an effect. Or it was good for. They lie. They create entire industries or government agencies like the FDA to protect the very industries that are supposed to, you know, protect us against. Well, the same thing with EMF. It's a new phenomenon. You know, I mean, you know, it really only in the last, all this transmission over the airways of power, really in the last couple of decades. Hell, you know, I didn't, as a young kid, I didn't near have, in the 60s, have to worry about this near as much as my grandchildren do now. And if we don't study this and have and all get an understanding of even how we can defend against it now, all of a sudden, it'll be 10, 20 years from now with accumulated damage of, man, what the heck? And is it intentional? And what happens when you don't want a smart meter and they're arresting people because they don't want to have a device on their house? What up with that? And who's doing that? I refused mine. I haven't got SWAT teamed yet.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Okay, Cindy, we come back in about 2 minutes. Go ahead and help me out. Let's go ahead and make a couple of notes of some of the things that we want to do. We'll get into the products and all that. I know everybody
always... Well, I'm not going to get into too much about the products. If people want to call with the problems, I don't want to really get... Because it's such a broad spectrum. But I do want to talk about that I went to a hearing at the Arizona Corporation Commission's, and I testified and told them all about these problems because I was affected severely and could not live in my house for 6.5 months, sleeping in my car, sleeping all over the place, getting a hold of Senator Nancy Bardo, John McCain.
How'd that all work out for you?
Oh, it was horrible.
Okay.
They didn't do anything.
No, they're part
Newman,
of the problem.
Sandra Kennedy, Bob Stump, all of these guys.
Okay, now this is the one thing that I want. So you're here in Arizona.
I'm in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Okay, now this is one I know better, but the when they came to put on the meter, I happened to see him out there going, hey, what are you doing? We're going to put on the meter. And I'm going, do I have to? And the guy, and she, and the, there was a woman and a guy, and the woman goes, well, you need to, you know, she's going into her New World Order because, and say whatever the hell reason, something. I don't know, she got something for it. And started defending it, and the guy looks at me, and I'm looking at him just to, you know, he could tell, and he goes, no, you don't have to. I go, okay, then we don't. Okay, done. Problem solved. I mean, you know, and she's sitting there wanting to debate. Seriously, you want to have this debate? How's that worked out for you in the past, you know? So I'm interested in other states, though. They're mandating. They're coming in and kicking in door kind of stuff.
They're tearing off locks and breaking down gates. And
well, do we have that threat here in Arizona?
Well, they're trying to push for that. They're trying to You know, a lot of people lost their jobs, and people have came to me, and now they're delivery guys saying, you know, they're going to really push on you guys.
All right, here we go.
You're going to pay $100.
Here we go.
You can interact with other LRN listeners in our message board at forum.lrn.fm. That's forum.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Easy it was, don't even need a government form. And people that go to get their government forms are, they get learnified. You know, and our next guest, you know, that's kind of, you know, where she's gone. She's here in Scottsdale, Arizona, okay? I did not know that. Okay, Cindy DeBock, hopefully I'm saying that right. Now, she has, you know, personally been affected by this to the point that she started becoming an activist. She's getting interested in this. She goes to the Arizona Corporation Commission. Yay. All right. Now, what are they there for? Because they love people. That's right. They're going to take care of us. They're going to save us. They're going to, you know, keep the rates this and do this and do that and kind of yay. You know, how's that work out? Not very well. Now, I had, it must have been within the last year. I mean, it wasn't too long ago. I had on the side door my electrical boxes on the home. We have two boxes. Yeah, one that goes on, you know, our barn out there, you know, the lot next to us here in our property. We have 2 acres here. They have one that's there and then one that's right here. I'm on the other side of the wall. It's right there. It's like, you know, 10, 12 feet from me on the other side of the wall, right there. Okay. I go and I take a ping pong ball and I go like that. I hit it. Okay. If the wall wasn't there. That's where they wanted to put the smart meter. And they were over there going to do that. And it was a man and a woman. They're probably in their 30s, 40s, around in there. You know, not kids. But they come up, and they're going to put it. I go, yeah, what's up? Oh, we got to put it on your smart. I go, really? Do I have to do that? And the woman started going into her thing. She goes, oh, well, yeah, it's kind of important, kind of in the planet and saving man something. I don't know. She just, my eyes glazed over in about the first 5 seconds. And I looked at the guy, and he goes, no, you don't have to. I go, okay, then we won't. And she's like, eh. And I was like, seriously, you want to have this discussion? How's that worked out for you before? Now, here in Arizona, I guess you can refuse it. Now, they're getting to the point that they want to charge you extra for them not coming and putting it on or something. I'm like, what? And then you have in other states, man, they're just kicking down doors and busting and shooting and zip ties and guns at heads and stuff. You're getting your freaking meter. And I'm going, wow, what the heck is going on? Well, that was the same question that Cindy DeBock asked at emfdoctors.com. Now, if you want, there's some products and stuff over there and you can help and defend against whatever. How about we get to the point we don't got to worry about it, all right? So let's go ahead and get back to Cindy. Cindy, tell us how you were concerned, what happened to you, why you got involved, where you went with it, what you learned, and when did this start? Go.
It was a year and 8 months ago, and there was a little door hanger on your door, if you got one or it blew off the door, saying that they were putting a new electric meter on, upgraded, but they didn't call it a smart meter. So a guy and a girl, just like your place, came over to my house and said, oh, can you kindly turn your laptop or your computers off so we don't blow them up? And we're going to put your new meter on. So they went outside, and I went, okay, no problem. And then something just clicked in my head. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to take my magnetic radiation meter, because I've had one of these for 18 years, and I'm going to take this thing outside. So as soon as I walked out the door, I could actually feel it in my head. It's almost like a pressure. And it was around me because I'm in a gated community of 360 homes, which already had their smart meter, and my house is in the middle of this mess. So I went outside and I said to these two people, what the heck is this stuff? And they go, what do you mean? And I said, I can feel like pressure and I'm getting a severe migraine headache. They said, oh, it's just our new upgraded meter. It's nothing. And so I said, hang on, before you guys run out to the next house, let me just turn this thing on. Well, the thing just blew off the red. It blew off the charts. And I didn't even ask them if I had the option. I just said, get this freaking thing out of here. And they just looked at me and I said, I am not having that on my house. So they said, okay, no problem, ma'am, we'll take it off. But of course, the house next to me, I could touch. They're all kind of tight sandwiched in together. And of course, I went on, and through my day, I had this headache, severe pain, and it was like somebody shot me between the eyes, the pressure, and my heart started pounding, and it was like immediate. I knew that something was really bad going on and something was up. So that night I had severe insomnia. By the next day I started getting an irregular heartbeat. Now I had zero symptoms, relatively healthy, maybe a little ache and pain in my knee, and that was about it.
How old are you, if you don't mind?
I'm 49. And
your health is relatively, you know, normal. You felt
like
you were okay?
I'm fine. I maybe got a little bit of weight, just like the rest of the country, you know, eating all this GMO food. But, you know, I got a little bit of weight, maybe had a little ache and pain in my knee. And that was really about it, because, you know, I take good care of myself. We eat organic here. And I had no problems. I had no headaches. I had no insomnia. I had no tachycardia, atrial fib, to the point after 2 days I almost had a massive heart attack. So I was like, what the heck? And here I am, you know, sleeping in at my clubhouse and trying to get away from this, but it's the whole infrastructure. There's that saying, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, because everything is connected. The smart meters are talking to all the other meters and downloading that into a repeater meter where there's 200 to 300 meters downloading that until it gets back to the, you know, a hub station or a utility, and then it goes back to APS or SRP. That's our utility here in Arizona. And of course, I just start getting worse, and I had to get in my car, and I was sleeping in my car up in Cave Creek in January at, you know, Harold's and here and there and driving all over the place, freezing to death in January, believe it or not. And I thought, this is nuts. I got to do something about this. So finally, I stayed with a few friends that lived in condos, and they weren't metered yet, and then I'd be perfectly fine, and all the symptoms would go away. I'd come back home, and I, you know, it was crazy. So anyway, I ended up going to, there was a meeting I found out at the Arizona Corporation Commission's that they were holding, you know, a meeting, and they were asking, it was public, people could go up there, so they were testifying at a hearing. So I had went down there and I testified, and I told them, I said, look, listen, you guys, we're all bioelectrical and biochemical. We run at 62 to 78 electrical hertz in our veins. And when we start getting sick with all these artificial fields, it's going to cause problems like cancers and this and that. Well, all of them, I mean, they couldn't care less. They just couldn't care less. They were like, they're listening. Okay, next, you have 2 minutes, next. So I ended up, after that meeting, I called Paul Newman, because he was working at the Corporation Commissions at the time, and Sandra Kennedy and Bob Stump. I called all these people.
Okay, now these people are legislators?
These people are the Arizona Corporation Commissioners.
Okay. Yeah, see, I recognize a lot of those names that used to be legislators. Now they're, you know, in charge.
Yes, they're in charge. Yeah. And then I kept calling them and saying, hey, you guys, I'm sick. I can't even live in my house here. This is getting a little crazy. And none of them would call me back. So I kept calling and calling. And finally, one doctor said, you know, call Senator Nancy Bardo. She'll probably listen to you. And so I called her, and she seemed at
No, that's all right. You go ahead and finish your thought.
At first she seemed very concerned, and then by the next call it was like, we can't do anything about this. It's just mandatory for everybody to have these things on our house.
Of course it is! Mandatory! Mandatory! That which is not forbidden is required! And who tells us that? I don't know. We don't get to have a say, I can tell you that. Okay. We'll go ahead and, you know, walk through this and Bardo. See, this is one thing that it's, God, man, I can't even. Did you listen to the show in the first couple hours today? Did you try and listen to the show at all or anything?
No, I usually listen to them at night. They get downloaded, and my husband and I listen to your shows at nighttime.
Oh, really? Okay, so you kind of get an idea. Well, I had Karen Hudis, World Bank attorney, kind of, we've had her on before. She came on big, you know, and her opinion, it's, you know, our big discussion really is in more than just the news of what's going on. It's a philosophical thing. She worked really hard to get into a position of power to be an attorney for the World Bank to do good through with the system. And her thing is they're being bad. They're bad. We got to fix the bad and kind of not be bad. And I'm going, wow, man, why would you think that they wouldn't be bad? I mean, you know, that you can make them good, that this collectivization of power would be. So that becomes the argument. And the thing is, I'm seeing here in the smart meter thing is like, well, you're going through that process. You know, we're going to go and use the system to go beat up the system in favor of the health of the people it's supposed to protect. And really quick, you start to find out that the system is not there for you. It's mm-hmm. to insulate the system from you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly.
So
there to help you, believe me.
Hell
John
no.
McCain. John McCain's office, I called and called and called, and they just pushed me to the Scottsdale mayor. They just said, oh, well, you know, we can't do anything, so we'll just send you to the Scottsdale mayor, and let's see if he can do anything with this problem. And it was like they just keep shoving you around and around until you have to take care and do something. You know, for yourself, it was getting.
Well, I want to walk through this. Save it for the audience, because I want to walk through. You get the what's her name? She
Nancy Bardo.
She's representative or senator?
She's senator.
Okay, Senator Bardo. Yeah, you know, I don't pay any attention to these
guys
John, anymore.
John McCain. I mean, that was absolute. I even wrote a letter, and then of course Scottsdale Mayor Jim Lane. Forget it. I mean, and then they just bounced me to the one APS guy, Steve Yamamori, and he was like acting like dumb as a bag of rocks. And he's like, oh, I've never heard anything. And I said, you're for real. He goes, yeah, I never heard anything about anybody getting sick from these meters. And I says, well, you know what? You got to do something. I mean, put me on that list. Yeah. I says, it's 6.5 months. I says, I can't live in my house. Do you understand? We lost a dog, a 6-year-old Boston, healthy as a horse, Boston Terrier, in 6 months because of the smart meters. And the smart meters, because it's a digital pulse microwave radiation, while your 4G phone is acting like a smart meter in your pants. I get patients from doctors coming in here losing their testicles and their kidneys and all kinds of crazy things, and burning sensations on their legs, and I mean, it's getting insane because the 4G is acting like it's on the same wavelength. It's a digital pulse microwave radiation where people are, you know, brain tumors. I mean, either I get to them and they've either had them or they've got them. Or they're dead.
My phone, I'm looking at, I got the 4G thing going on here.
Oh, that's
Can I even turn it off?
Well, what you can do, go into your application.
Yeah, I'm looking at the application.
And go into your menu and shut the Wi-Fi. There's all kinds of, there's more and more. Two people came here yesterday, emergency on that. There's an application, if it says airplane mode, you want that completely off because people, even though you can't feel these electromagnetic fields, it's where the canaries in the coal mine, we can say, hey, airplane mode is nothing.
Here we go.
You need to
shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Fringe, I know you're out there. Well, they're not hiding anymore. You know, I'm looking at my phone here. It's like a 4G is a big, giant, major kind of deal, and I'm going into my settings, and I'm kind of, I want to turn it off, man. Let's turn it off. Okay, so let's go ahead. First thing, Cindy, so that, you know, she's talking about losing testicles and stuff. I got my attention. Okay. So I'm going, I go in here, and I'm looking at my quick settings, and airplane mode, will that turn everything off?
No. You have to completely shut down your airplane mode. And as I was saying, when you have airplane mode on, it's still on. Anybody that's electromagnetic sensitive, I can feel airplane mode. It doesn't mean anything. It's only when you're in an airplane. It must shut something down, but it's still on. So you have to turn that setting completely off. And you have to go in, and to even help yourself a little bit, go into the settings on the Wi-Fi settings and it just fiddle with it a little bit, and it's going to say either on or off or mode or something like that. You want to completely turn your Wi-Fi application off.
You know, I take the battery out of my phone if it'd let me anymore.
Yeah, they won't let you anymore. Yes, that's right.
You know, here's another thing I saw, that they have these pockets, and I have a couple. You know, some guys gave them to me, that you lead lined, whatever it is, you put your phone in, but I got a Droid X2. It's too big. It won't fit in that one. I need to find. So do you guys have devices like that, stuff I can just put my phone in and shield it?
Well, there is something that I'm going to be, it's actually in the works right now. You can stick your whole phone, especially these battery ones that don't come out, you'll be able to stick it in a little pouch, and it's a little zipper, and you can close it. You could try dialing yourself, and it won't ring at all. Now, there is another one that if you want to talk on it, it's going to have shielding on one side that your face and your head is going to be protected, but you'll still be able to receive signal on the other side.
Okay, now what about Bluetooth?
Horrible. Horrible.
Really?
Don't want Bluetooth. Turn it off. Get rid of it. Sell it. Do whatever you can. Put it on eBay. Bluetooth is a wireless device, and it's still connecting to that phone, so you're getting it right isolated within your ear. It's horrible. So you do not want a Bluetooth. You actually have to go from cord, plug-in cord, up to ear, and either use something like that type of device if you want to talk on your phone. But if you're not using your phone, I would suggest to people, turn it off. I mean, we live with these things for how many years we didn't have a cell phone. Turn it off and go check your phone every couple of hours. Now, where with myself, I kind of do that. I don't get very good reception where I live because I've, you know, did some remediation around my home and my body and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, shut it off, you know. And
okay, what's an opportunity to put a, like a laundry basket sprayed with metallic paint wrapped in aluminum foil or whatever around the entire smart meter? Do they have an effect?
Well, funny that you said that, because what else did I have to do? When I came back to my house, I could only handle it 1 to 2 hours. So I started experimenting across the street, because of course all the neighbors had smart meters, and I put good old Costco, 3 layers of the thick stuff, and wrapped around a smart meter with tin foil, and of course that absolutely did nothing. And basically radiation is like water. It just pushes in through the other side of the wall. So that does not work. And there's actually a fellow out there, I'm not saying any names, and he's a doctor, saying, oh, put tin foil on your smart meter. And I called him up after this radio show, and I said, are you for real? I says, you can't do that. I says, it just pushes it on the other side. And to tell you the truth, your tinfoil method does not work. It still actually is horrible.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go through your process here. You start to see that you got issues. Nobody wants to, help you or even acknowledge it. They go, oh, shut up, you're just crazy, along with the 15 gazillion other people calling us. And so you finally get to Senator Bardo. Now, Senator Bardo here, she has some interest in this, or sees it as a voting block, or somebody's going to give me some money or something, whatever justification they have for returning calls. And then it gets to where, they're like, never mind, we don't want to talk about it anymore. What happened there?
Well, I called her because one of the medical doctors had said, listen, call Nancy Bardo, maybe she can help you out. And, of course, I called her, and she seemed very concerned, and oh my goodness, and this and that, and then I didn't hear from her for days, and I kept calling her and calling her, and I said, I can get cardiologists and top medical doctors, and I can get Dr. Doris Rapp. She's local here. She's World Environmental Medicine doctor. I says, I could get senators, all the legislation, get the Arizona Corporation Commissions. I'll get all these medical docs, cardiologists, and so on, and let's have a powwow here, and let's get these things out of Arizona. And I says, they don't want them. They've got patients coming in, and they were basically telling me, go away, get lost. We don't want anything to do with you or any of these doctors or cardiologists, because it's too big. There's too much money involved here. So they just basically, told me to get lost. So I just kept pushing and pushing on this. And then, of course, they were supposed to have another meeting. The Corporation Commission's a few months later canceled. 24 hours, got a cancellation. Then I got another call. There was a big meeting at a hotel. and someone called me, Cindy, get down to the hotel. Their Arizona Corp is going to be there. They're having a big shindig over there. You better get over there. So, of course, I go there. Fine dining, white tablecloth. There's like 350 people, the whole state of Arizona. I felt like a wedding crasher, and I'm like, am I supposed to be here? I said, is it okay? Oh, yeah, go ahead. And, of course, that was election time, and Paul Newman wanted to get re-voted in at the Arizona Corp, and I've talked to Bob Stump there and Sandra Kennedy. Oh, here's my personal email. Here's this. Here, and, of course, they did absolutely nothing. But, you know, it must have been a $30,000, $40,000 luncheon with filet mignon on the taxpayers' money. And, of course, they seemed, again, all concerned but brushing me off and goodbye, don't want you, don't bother us. And so I was on my own, basically, with all this that had been going on.
Okay, let me paint a picture for people. These are our legislators and regulators and all these kind of people here in Arizona. We have Paul Newman, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. You think I'm kidding? I mean, am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm like going, you know, this is like, you know, I'm, they changed your name to, you know, freaking whatever, and, you know, here you go. This is, and they take our, I am so interested in your philosophical awareness of government. As you went to the very people that have, you know, they did the junior high civics class, and I'm just a bill, and kind of, and this is how, and you go to and vote, and they're going to take care of you kind of thing. You know, has your view of government and authorities evolved over the last couple of years?
Oh, yes. I've totally woken up. They're not out there to, I'm sorry to say this, everybody, but they're not out there to help you. They don't care. I mean, and there's nothing, it's bigger than them. They're out there because, you know, they got a job to do, and their job is whatever their job is. I have no idea.
Is it do whatever the guy put them there told them? That's what it is.
Exactly. I mean, what I understood, and I'm not, you know, 2008, this rolled in by the, and I'm not saying anything. I love everybody, black, white, any color under the sun. But it came out 2008 by Obama stimulus package. Well, we certainly didn't need this for a stimulus because everybody's losing jobs.
Oh, no way. The smart meter was a stimulus Obama thing?
Obama thing. 2008, they started rolling out. And then prior to that, I mean, people can go research it, and it's everywhere on the Internet, but it came out by the United Nations. So this is a worldwide.
I'm so shocked.
Worldwide global issue. I mean, I get calls and people from Japan or Tokyo, and, you know, a school teacher has to teach these kids, and then all of a sudden there's a cell phone tower. He goes, look, these kids are like ADD. They can't concentrate. They can't focus. I mean, the smart meters are a really bad thing, but this 4G and anybody living near a cell phone tower, they're slamming these things up everywhere. I mean, we had about 3 or 4 cell phone towers in a 1 mile radius 8 months ago, and now we have over 17. I
Whoa.
Think it's a little overkill.
Whoa! The EMF soup on our butt. All right. And we're getting cooked too. It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. We're in the cauldron. All right. We'll be right back with Cindy in just a little bit.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy,
health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
Yeah, it's all about the power of love. That's the way. You know, this is, and what better way? Well, first off, you know, it's kind of just do the, you know, love yourself thing. And take care of yourself. And then that comes with, you know, all of a sudden you see how you can help others. And you share that and you start to talk to other people. And we have been convinced, we are brought up thinking that when you have, I must go to my leaders. Take us to your leader. I got a whole bunch, I got a plethora of them. I mean, I got a big giant cornucopia spewing of people to say they're my leaders. And the justification for them being there is because they're going to help me. You know, they're going to represent me. They're going to, but after a while in anything that you do, you go, certainly when it comes down to I am under daily freaking, I can't even go to sleep in my own house attack. And you talk to them and they're like, you know, what do you think I got this job for, baby? It is to protect, you know, they, them, those that put me here from you. And once you come to that realization, all of a sudden, it changes your direction. So now I need to ask Cindy, as you've gone through this, Cindy, you got to help me out. You know, where's your direction? Where's your focus now? You're looking for another hearing? You're looking for somebody to, you know, listen to you? And tell us, finish your experience when you went to the conference during the election cycle of Vote For Me, you know, and they got all their white linen out there, and I don't want to talk to you unless you're a big donor, and the biggest donors are the guys that put the meters on your house, and, you know, and you don't count. So when they do that, I mean, pick it up from there. What did you come to realize, and where is your energy going?
Well, my energy went to this. I spoke 3 times at the Arizona Homeopathic and Integrative Medicine Association, where they broadcasted it across the whole state of Arizona, where all these doctors could get on and listen and talk about electromagnetic fields and microwave radiation, and their jaws had dropped because now they've got patients every day in and out, coming with all these symptoms. They're not even, you know, checking for other things first. They're going, oh my gosh, everybody's full of this microwave radiation. So I did do that, and then I ended up on Fox News, and everybody interviewed on Fox News couldn't live in their house from the same problem. Well, those guys were only supposed to be here for 20 minutes. They ended up here 3 hours, and their jaws were just dropping on the floor. So what I would suggest for everybody is to participate and be active and get involved in this. What I do is most of the time is all the doctors, and a lot of doctors are sending throughout Arizona, are sending their patients to me because I can feel these sensitivities from anybody from mild to severe, and we just start, you know, elimination of, you know, working on the body, going outward, you know, remediating for their sleeping area and so forth. And I urge and encourage people to please just be active in this And, you know, maybe it's to the point where we're all going to have to hit the more it hurts is in their pocketbook, you know, and a lot of people in California are just suing because it's like, that's the only thing they're going to listen to.
Yeah, but they got government agencies, day law departments of whatever, and judges to kind of keep doing that. We may even give you a little wind over here as they keep marching forward and doing what they want anyway.
Well, you know, what I do is I had told all my neighbors, and they all ended up, 9 of them ended up removing their smart meters, and they all got sick. And I encourage other people, if you've got new health symptoms in the last year and 8 months, or whenever that thing has been on, it might not happen right away, but boy, it's going to get you. And that's what I kept trying to tell the corporation commissions. If you're not sick today, in 6 months to a year and a half, you will be sick. There is no guarantee. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide with this. So I encourage people, become active, tell your neighbors, send them to my site, send them to those books that I told you.
Move to the desert, you know, which is an option. Now, the thing is that I also want to kind of delve into the actual shielding against it. Now, I have some friends that they do the same thing. They go around, look, Ernie, you need to get this meter and go around and check and look and hear and kind of, and they're showing me this. I'm going, okay, well, yeah, I live in an electrical soup of God knows what, and I don't really, know, okay, is that good, bad, kind of, well, probably it's not normal, I can tell you that. I mean, caveman didn't live with a cell tower and, develop life, didn't develop underneath the, in fact, all right, I'll get to that in a second. But one thing I wanted to mention is they talked about kind of this Faraday cage for your bed. If you're a third of your life is sleeping, they just go, you just get this kind of, silver, copper coated linen, polyester, de la, block, electromagnet. How effective are those? Are those real? Is that a good solution to a lot of the problem? What?
It can be a solution. I have something that's a little less expensive for that because, which is the bed sheets, the blankets, and some of the cloth and some of the bracelets so you can survive in civilization and go into town and go shopping at your local health food store or food store. They are effective. The sheets, the blankets are great. There's Faraday cages that are out there, and I will tell you, it might go to 18 decibels, 20 decibels. People that I know have spent $10,000, $20,000 on shielding and paint and this and that. They don't, those particular shieldings don't work. It seems that you have to go up to 50 dB and 100 decibel grounding mat. And then it's sound. I mean, it's very, very sound. The paints can work really well, but remember, it's got to be completely the whole room. You got a window, you got stuff leaking in. It's a problem. And, the stuff that I have, I use the stuff that actually works because I deal with people that are sensitive to all these things. And lo and behold, they can be symptom free. Either it takes a little bit of time or immediate, So, the shielding, you'd have to, like I said, put the cloth on your, on your body, put it on your phone, you put it on your,
God, it's like a bad dystopian sci-fi movie.
It's like a horror movie. That's what it's like. And the stories, oh my gosh. I mean, it'd curl your hair. I mean, some people are on, if they think that you're, you got headaches, you can't sleep, you're this and that, they put you on 4. It's usually 4. It's a magic number. Anti-schizophrenic drugs or.
No. God, okay. I want to mention this for the end of the show. We're definitely, as you go through your walk, are you still dealing with government agencies on this? Are you going to meetings? Are you talking to legislators?
No, because they're not doing anything
anymore.
Good. They
now
can't
we can talk
help
to you
forget
more.
It.
You can actually get some stuff done now. Okay. So go ahead and plan on staying in touch with us and regular updates on this over a period of weeks, months, whatever. We'll have you come back. But I want to make this one point for the end of the show. Tonight, we will have our 28th edition of the magazine will go up. The cover is a woman doing bees in the future, beekeeper kind of stuff, and modern whatever that we do. We have our main story is called The Perfect Storm of Stupidity, and it's all the things that you're talking about, the GMO, the electromagnetic fields, the way we rate, all that it applies to bees and how it applies to us. And it is a perfect storm accumulation of all the same things. As an organism, we may be more robust, and we can use different things to kind of shield us from, or, you know, alleviate some of the symptoms or whatever. But, you know, this colony collapse thing with the bees is just the beginning of a lot of this stuff, how it's manifested in our lives. So I'm going, okay, so that is a good article for this month that applies to this. Now, go ahead and stay, you know, until after the show. Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about this. But I tell you, you know, there is a lot more that we need to be paying attention to this. And I tell you what the big thing is what Cindy learned. The government is not there to help you. I mean, did we get, is that a realization that probably is more useful than a lot of, as useful as a lot of other things? Cindy, you think?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, until you come to that realization, you can't even really begin. You probably have done more to alleviate your pain, more to affect your health and that of others after you realize the government's not there to help you. So I'm going, we want to help. Because if you're done with that, and you've already come to that conclusion, you got them, then we can help you. There's things that we can do. But if I got to spend all my time trying to, you know, redirect efforts, you know, from we're going to go fix the government or something, you know, then I'm just wasting my time. If you've gone past that, then there's other things that we can do. We can start taking care of ourselves and be aware. EMFDoctors.com. Go get some information. Go see about Cindy's battle. Go ahead and learn what we're under here. The attitudes are in your state. What's happening? You know, why are they SWAT teaming people that don't want smart meters? I mean, just that question. Wow.
Why did you move to the Shire?
Okay. Donna will send you a link to this show, and you can do what you want with it, and it has video and audio. Now, you get the MP3 file or the video link or the embedded whatever. Now, I do want to stay in touch with you. Keep us on your Rolodex, so to speak, so that when you come across something you want to share, boom, we have you on and rock and roll.
Okay, that sounds great. You know, my husband was saying, boy, we'd love to come over and see your hydroponics and all this and that, and maybe I can, you know, a complimentary on me to go over and see if you're getting any other exposure. I mean, I can stand in your yard, in your house, and I can feel it.
Wait on you now. You're not here yet? I mean, you know.
No, we'll have to schedule an appointment. I get over 30,000 people on my website a month all over the world. It's getting insane. I mean, by the day.
Well, tomorrow afternoon, after the breakfast club that we do, we're going to be doing kind of one of the last of the year pool party, hanging out, chilling. How much beer can I drink? So that would be, you know, a nice time. You're welcome to come over. If you look at on any of the pages on Freedom's Phoenix, at the bottom center, it has my home address there. So I'm over at 51st Avenue and Greenway, southeast of.
51st Avenue and Greenway. Okay.
Yeah, the Sunburst Farms thing there. And so what happens is, you know, everybody, oh, you put your address up there? Oh, my God, I can't believe you. I go, well, that's so the good guys.
Gosh.
That's so the good guys know where I live, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So this is, it's not like a secret. But the what I want to do is you give us a time. We're kind of just coming into a two-week period of, oh, my God, I got a couple of seconds to do something. I mean, we have been so busy all summer, and we had the magazine we got to do tonight, breakfast club tomorrow, people coming over to go swimming, and then family on Sunday. But, you know, starting Monday, when we got other projects we got to get ready for and stuff we got to do, but at least I got like a big giant hump, you know, that I got done. So we can set up any time. You just, you got an email that'll come from Donna, the producer. That's my wife, Donna. Go ahead and just communicate with her, and you guys will set up something. You can just come over for dinner or just chill. And we live, it's like really nice camping. I mean, you know, everything we do is in this activism. And this is part of it because it's a project called Defending Archimedes is what the overall project is. And that is, you know, defending the next generation, that, you know, from the junior high age, you know, 10 to 14. We saw what happened when all the information available on the internet and the Lovolution thing happened to teenagers. And we were still
fixing people that were broken and broken through the school system. And we finally kind of really got a beat on when that happens. It's when they're going through puberty, you know, in junior high. That's when they do the I'm just a bill and the social studies and the government and all that kind of crap. And they go, yes, you're going through puberty and you want to challenge authority in the man and challenge it. Yeah, it's dad. And here's a D.A.R.E. program. Go turn them in. Government's good and love us because we love baby seals, you know. And I'm going, oh, I get it. It's Hitler Youth crap. That's why they always do it at the junior high puberty level.
Right,
so what,
right.
So what we're doing, and of course they're susceptible to all this other crap too, environmentally, EMF, you know, I mean everything. So what we did is we go, look, if we can focus on inoculating them or giving them information, websites, DVDs, and kind of we market this younger, you know, get them younger, you know, 10 to 14 and, you know, in partnership with their parents. Say, look, man, this is stuff and here's some more graduate study kind of whatever. And we're working on that now. And what happens is part of that is the aquadome is being able to learn how to feed yourself. That's mm-hmm. why we're doing that. We mm-hmm. have my own lab. We do. I'm growing carbon nanotubes to enhance the energy density of nickel iron batteries, blah, 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 blah. And that's very inspirational to the point that we even have homeschool kids come over and they have little groups of five or six, and I got my Doc Brown David Bowie wig on with my lab coat and black gloves, and I'm going, you know, explaining them the science. They love that crap, you know. So we're finally at the point where we'll start doing videos and DVDs on it, but I had to get everything finished. We're just at the point where probably this weekend, probably starting Sunday, we're going to actually start planting the seeds into the grow beds because they're all out there, but you got to condition the water and then you put in the fish and you know, all that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. So we're just now ready to turn it on. And, well, I mean, add the seeds and stuff. It's been on for a few weeks and conditioning. But getting the pH right because it's got to balance out with the water in with the rocks and the stone and the media that you put in, the bacteria, blah, blah, blah. So now we're just getting that done to where – and we invite all our friends and people that want to help. And, you know, they've been helping on this. And you're certainly welcome to come to any of the parties that we announce on Freedom's Phoenix. Now, on Freedom's Phoenix, do you get the newsletter?
My husband usually gets all that stuff. I'm not sure if he's got the newsletter. I will ask him.
Well, it's a daily email dispatch of the headlines. It's just like going to the page, and you just sign up for that, and it's just a you know email, and you confirm, and you get it. But the then there's a subscription, which is a magazine. That's a whole other thing. But on there, you'll see whenever we have parties. And we'll go ahead and
Wanted to go to your camping thing, but we kind of missed out on that. But
Jackalope! You
yeah,
know what?
He was like, man, jacked about that. He really was like, there
was
go
absolutely
there. Go there.
No EMF up there. I can guarantee you.
Yeah,
that.
I'll tell you.
Well, at least it was greatly reduced. So.
You know, I will tell you that it is so crazy. I mean, I've got people, it seems that there's something going on, because this is going on every 7 to 10 days where people are getting, this isn't, we're not on the air right now, right?
No, it's being recorded for the audio or my personal whatever I got, but.
Okay, but it doesn't go out, right, what I'm about to say?
I can make sure it, here, hold on a second. All right.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm going to tell you, because I'm going to go up to now, and I'm going to say, all right, guys, you don't get to know the real good stuff. You know, so, oh, sorry. Suck to be you. All right. Let me hit the stop.